Vet Affairs, Volume 39, Number 2, August 2023. For Australia's Veteran Community, from the Australian Government Department of Veterans Affairs. This sound recording has been produced by Vision Australia on behalf of DVA in the interests of information accessibility. Your narrator is David Tredinnick. The recording lasts for approximately 3.5 hours overall. This issue includes Australia Honours Vietnam Veterans, Darwin Veterans and Families Hub opens. News. This section includes from the Department, from the Minister, from the Assistant Minister, letter to the Editor, free flood cover for veterans and ADF members, annual increase to travel allowances, more New South Wales veterans receiving automatic rego renewals, the Defence Honours and Awards Appeals Tribunal, energy rebate to provide bill relief, modernising DVA, my service changes. Forums inform DVA policy. Budget 2023-24 supports veterans and families. And advocate to help a mate. Health and well-being. This section includes high blood pressure in veterans. Team Australia heads to 2023 Invictus Games. Is anger thwarting your life goals? Veterans Mates, an evidence-based program that's saving lives. Supporting veterans with chronic health conditions. Vietnam veterans celebrated with Open Arms 40th anniversary. Do you have diabetes? DVA can help. Get involved in Veterans Health Week 2023, and September signals Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Widows News. This section includes enhancing well-being and inclusiveness through transport assistance. WA Premier's ANZAC Student Tour Awards. A call to War Widows in Melbourne. War Widows Day recognised in WA. South Australia War Widows honoured with Day of Commemoration. And 28th Field of Remembrance Dedication Ceremony and Anzac Day Service. ESO News. This section includes former sailor gets hands dirty in post-disaster ops. Friendships for life forged on the RSL Remembrance Ride. And supporting the work of Keith Payne, VC, AM. Transitioning well. This section includes new veteran employment program and screen warriors skilling up for the film industry. Families. Putting families at the centre. Features. This section includes artistic license and Operation Grain Harvest Assist. Bookshelf. Commemorations. This section includes remembering the sinking of AHS Centaur, 70 years on from the Korean War, 50th anniversary, Vietnam, significant commemorations, the pivotal battle of the Bismarck Sea, 80th anniversary of the Dambusters raid, and preserving our stories from the Western Front. Australian War Memorial. This section includes Dambusters model revealed and items for sale. Notice board. This section includes reunions, medals lost and found, Navy, Army, Air Force, miscellaneous, and to unsubscribe. Publishing details, closing announcement. Australia Honours Vietnam Veterans. On the 18th of August, more than 2,000 Australians gathered in the nation's capital to honour the service and sacrifice of our Vietnam veterans. The National Commemorative Service on Vietnam Veterans Day was the culmination of a historic year as we mark the 50th anniversary of the end of Australia's involvement in the Vietnam War. Some 60,000 Australians served in the war, more than 3,000 were wounded, and 523 lost their lives. For the full feature, see the article 50th Anniversary, Vietnam, in the commemoration section. Darwin Veterans and Families Hub opens. The Veterans and Families Hub's network has expanded, with Minister for Veterans Affairs Matt Keogh officially opening the Mates for Mates Veteran and Family Wellbeing Centre in Darwin. This is the second location to be opened by Mates for Mates in the Northern Territory under the Veterans and Families Hub's program, with support being provided from its Palmerston site since May 2021. Services will now be provided at both Palmerston and Stewart Park, helping veterans and families across the Top End to access essential services from two locations. Minister Keogh was provided with a tour of the new hub, which includes mental health and physical recovery clinical services, a gym, a veterans lounge, as well as space for Mates for Mates social connection activities, including a barbecue area. It was my great privilege to officially open the Mates for Mates Veteran and Family Wellbeing Centre, part of our National Veterans and Families Hubs network, Minister Keogh said. This purpose-designed hub will add to the services already available to veterans in Darwin. This is all about providing a safe space that is culturally appropriate for serving and ex-serving members and their families to come to access services and referrals, exercise, learn something new, or just have a brew and make connections. Mates for Mates is working closely with a range of service providers and partners, including Open Arms, Veterans and Families Counselling, Soldier On, and Kookaburra Kids Foundation, to provide services such as assistance with transition, employment, family, advocacy services, and mental health support. Mates for Mates General Manager Emma Whitehead said the centre wouldn't have been possible without the Australian Government's $5 million contribution. Mates for Mates is committed to creating centres where veterans and families can come together safely, receive the support they need, and access a range of programs and services that are designed to help them navigate the challenges they might be facing, Emma said. Mates for Mates has served almost 10,000 veterans and family members in the last 10 years and works in partnership with other organisations to provide those impacted by service access to more support services more often and in the easiest way possible. For more details, visit dva.gov.au/VFHubs. News. From the Department. Alison Frame, Secretary, Department of Veterans Affairs. It is now over 7 months since I assumed the role of Secretary, a complex role that is both very rewarding and, at times, challenging. I'm thankful to the veterans, veterans' families, ex-service organisations and community groups who have so generously engaged with me and shared their expertise, experience and ideas. They have deepened my understanding of the needs of the veteran community and also highlighted the progress that DVA has made and the opportunities ahead. My engagements with DVA staff around the country have been similarly insightful. So many of our DVA staff engage directly with veterans and their families, and I have seen firsthand their commitment to continuously improving our support to veterans and their families. These interactions and the poignant commemorative services I've had the privilege to attend have shown me the human face of the department's core mission: to support those who serve or have served and recognise their service and sacrifice. Fulfilling this mission is, of course, dependent on our resourcing. The government's May budget included an additional $328.1 million to retain over 480 DVA staff and ensure the department has modern, efficient systems to process claims and payments. You can read more about these later in this edition. The vital work of the Royal Commission into Defence and Veteran Suicide continues, and DVA actively supports this through responding to requests from the Commission. Appearing as a witness at the Adelaide hearings, I discussed the positive, significant reform that DVA has undertaken, while also outlining the work that we are doing to improve responses for some veterans and families who continue to experience difficulties accessing our services. I also shared my priorities, which are to continue our implementation of the interim report recommendations and to ensure all DVA staff are supported and well-equipped to do this. We continue to be focused on improving compensation claims processing in order to reduce the backlog as fast as possible. The pace at which we process claims is increasing, and that rate accelerates as we bring more staff online, which in turn means we are getting support to our clients more quickly. We continue to prioritise older claims and also newly received claims where the personal circumstances of the veteran need consideration. To make it easier for medical practitioners to provide the required information for a claim, we are simplifying over 200 complex medical forms and reducing the amount of information we request. We have already reduced 19 of the most commonly used medical forms into 7 simpler forms. With both the people and the systems needed to tackle the backlog now coming online, it is encouraging to see progress. As at the 30th of June 2023, the number of staff involved in compensation claims processing activities has doubled since the same time last year, At the end of July, the claims backlog stood at about 30,000, down by one-third from a peak of more than 45,000 claims in September last year. We know that transition is often a challenging time for veterans and their families, and the Royal Commission has certainly highlighted this. The new $24 million Veterans Employment Program will promote the skills and experience veterans offer the civilian workforce and help Australian businesses to create work environments where veterans can thrive. You can find out more in the Transitioning Well section. We continue to engage with the veteran community, including through our Female Veterans and Veterans Families Policy Forums. I valued the opportunity to meet with the groups and witnessed their commitment as they discussed challenging issues such as protective factors for female veteran suicide, veteran homelessness, family violence, and others. You can read more about this later in the news section. This is a year of very significant commemorations. On Anzac Day, I had the immense privilege of attending the dawn service at Gallipoli. It was a profound experience, the memory of which will stay with me for some time. More recently, we remembered Australian service in the Korean War, which ended in the armistice 70 years ago. You can read more in the commemoration section. On the 18th of August, DVA was proud to host a very moving national commemorative service in the nation's capital for our Vietnam War veterans, marking 50 years since the end of Australia's involvement in the conflict. You can read more about this in the article 50th Anniversary, Vietnam, in the commemoration section. It was with some sadness that we recently bid a fond farewell to our repatriation commissioner, Don Spinks, AM. Don made a significant difference in his 4 years in the role. Don fostered strong relationships across the veteran and defence communities and was pivotal in strengthening engagement across the sector. I wish Don all the very best for the future. An announcement on the new repatriation commissioner is imminent. I look forward to continuing to actively engage with the veteran community and seek your input to improvements that will make a difference. Accompanying photographs show Alison Frame addressing the 2023 Female Veterans Policy Forum and the Anzac Day Dawn Service at Gallipoli. From the Minister, the Honourable Matt Keogh, MP, Minister for Veterans Affairs and Minister for Defence Personnel. Securing a better future for veterans and their families is my key priority. We're making progress. This year's federal budget increased funding to the Department of Veterans Affairs, so it's now better resourced than it has been in 3 decades. We've provided funding to maintain hundreds of additional staff, modernise and sustain ageing ICT systems, and ensure more timely payments and access to services for veterans and families. Significant investments that will further reduce the veteran compensation claims backlog. DVA is now making strong progress in reducing this backlog. It's down more than 30% from the peak in 2022. The budget also allocated just over $33 million to triple the veterans' access payment. This increase will make it easier for veterans to see a GP. The increased payment, which comes into effect from the 1st of November, will help to ensure GPs continue to service veterans with no out-of-pocket costs. The budget also expanded eligibility for the acute support package, which provides support for veterans and their families who are experiencing or are at risk of experiencing crisis. This support now includes grandcarers, grandparents who are full-time carers of the children of veterans. The changes came into effect on the 1st of July. These initiatives will all enable the department to provide veterans and families the services and supports you need and deserve quickly. In the current tight labour market, skilled workers are in hot demand. However, many businesses aren't always aware of the great contribution that veterans can bring to the civilian workforce. The new $24 million Veteran Employment Program will support employers to build their understanding of the unique contribution that veterans can make to their businesses. This program will also ensure that veterans' formal and informal skills are properly recognised and understood in civilian workplaces and by educational institutions, so they can get a civilian qualification sooner. I will be monitoring the success of this program with great interest. Our rollout of veterans and families hubs across the country is progressing well. In May, I was delighted to officially open the Mates for Mates Veteran and Family Wellbeing Centre in Darwin. It will provide greater access to essential support and services for defence personnel, veterans and families in the Top End. In June, RSL Tasmania was awarded $5 million to establish a Veterans and Families Hub network across the state. More recently, local organisations around the country have begun to be awarded grant funding to develop business cases as they seek to establish a hub in their regions. The hubs are about bringing together and coordinating services in a place that is welcoming to the veteran community in a way that's tailored to the specific needs of each veteran community they're located in. Throughout 2023, I've also participated in a number of significant commemorations close to the hearts of all Australians. On Anzac Day, I was privileged to represent the Australian Government at Gallipoli as we marked the 108th anniversary of the Allied landings on the peninsula. On behalf of all Australians, I paid tribute to not only those who served in the First World War, but to all of our personnel who have engaged in conflict, peacekeeping, or humanitarian operations. In July, I had the honour of representing Australia in the Republic of Korea to commemorate 70 years since the Korean War armistice. More than 350 Australians lost their lives during the war and in the post-armistice period. I visited our Aussie personnel stationed in the Joint Security Area of the Demilitarised Zone, DMZ, met with veterans and their families, and paid my respects at the United Nations Military Cemetery and the UN Forces Monument. This year is an important year for our Vietnam veterans, as we mark the 50th anniversary of the end of Australia's involvement in the Vietnam War. On the 18th of August, Vietnam Veterans Day, thousands gathered at the Australian Vietnam Forces National Memorial in Canberra for a national service to commemorate this anniversary. To each and every one of our Vietnam veterans, we honour you and we thank you. It is timely to remind all our Vietnam veterans and their families that a commemorative medallion and certificate of commemoration is available from DVA. More information is available on the DVA website or by phoning 1-800-VETERAN, that's 1-800-838-372. If you haven't already done so, I encourage you to apply. Finally, we wrapped up formal consultation on the government's veterans legislation reform pathway in May, and are in the process of evaluating the feedback and developing draft legislation for further feedback soon. We are making progress on improving the services and support available to veterans and their families, and I take this opportunity to reassure you that my resolve on this is unwavering. Accompanying photographs show the Honourable Matt Keogh, MP, at Anglesey Barracks to announce RSL Tasmania receiving a $5 million grant to build a network of veterans and families hubs, and also with Assistant Minister Matt Thistlethwaite at Bravo Electrical and HVAC to launch the Veteran Employment Program, and also delivering the commemorative address at the Anzac Day Dawn Service on Gallipoli. From the Assistant Minister, the Honourable Matt Thistlethwaite, MP, Assistant Minister for Defence and Assistant Minister for Veterans Affairs. In exciting news, we are just days away from the start of the Invictus Games in Dusseldorf. The Games is an adaptive multi-sport competition for veterans and serving personnel who have been wounded, injured, or become ill during their military service. I was thrilled to announce the co-captains and meet the 31 athletes of Team Australia before they headed off to Germany. See more in the health and wellbeing section. I'm sure you will join with me in wishing all our athletes the very best of luck. Go Aussies! As many of you know, transition can be a testing time in the life of someone exiting the ADF. One of the best signs of a successful transition is movement into meaningful employment soon after leaving the ADF. Recently, Minister Keogh and I visited Bravo Electrical and HVAC, a successful veteran-owned business in my electorate of Kingsford Smith, where 80% of staff are veterans. Veterans gain vital skills during their time in the military, such as leadership, teamwork, agility, discipline, and the ability to handle pressure, all highly sought after in today's economy. Bravo shows the unique value veterans bring to employers, and is an example of what can be achieved when employers are helped to understand the advantages of hiring veterans and supported to retain them. The government's new $24 million veteran employment program reinforces our commitment to veterans, recognising their diverse skills and facilitating their transition to civilian life. Back in April, I had the honour of representing Australia at the Anzac Dawn Service at the Australian National Memorial in France, near the village of Villers-Bretonneux. It was on the Western Front that Australia suffered its greatest losses in the First World War. This year also marks the 105th anniversary of the battles of Villers-Bretonneux, where Australian and British troops defended and then took back the town from the advancing German forces. I was proud to pay tribute to the service of the hundreds of thousands of Australians who answered our nation's call, and the hundreds more thousands who have answered it since. Just 2 days earlier, I was delighted to be at the launch of the Legacy Centenary Torch Relay at Pozières, a place steeped in Australian sacrifice. For 100 years, Legacy has supported the families of Australian service personnel who have died or lost their health as a result of their service. I was lucky to catch up with the relay again recently in Tamworth, New South Wales, and at Hyde Park in Sydney. It was a great honour to carry the torch on a small leg of the relay and count among the 1,500 torchbearers who are taking the torch on its 6-month journey to visit all 44 legacy clubs in Australia and 45 worldwide. The Australian government is proud to have provided a one-off grant of $400,000 to support Legacy's centenary commemorative activities. On behalf of the government and our veteran community, I thank Legacy for the wonderful work it has done over the past 100 years. Letter to the Editor. My mother, Enid May Greenfield, turned 102 on the 11th of May, 2023. She has just been awarded the Civilian Service Medal, 1939 to 1945, through the Prime Minister's Office, Australian Honours and Awards Secretariat. The award is for service in the Australian Women's Land Army, AWLA, where she volunteered at Batlow, picking apples and other fruit with her sister, Vivian Tracy. This award was only brought to my attention via my mother-in-law, Norma Speechley, last year through your magazine. This honour has only been awarded since 1992, and I am gratefully thankful to both your department and my mother-in-law for bringing it to my attention. Many thanks. Alan Greenfield. Get in touch. Vet Affairs welcomes letters to the editor by emailing vetaffairs@dva.gov.au or writing to GPO Box 9998, Brisbane, Queensland 4001. All letters must carry the sender's full name, address, and contact telephone number. Letters may be edited, and not all letters may be published due to space constraints. We may not be able to reply to your letter personally, but we will try to. Letters are published in good faith, and Vet Affairs takes no responsibility for the accuracy of the content. Free flood cover for veterans and ADF members. Anywhere it can rain, it can flood. Be sure you're covered with DVA's Defence Homes Insurance Scheme. Heavy rain that turns into flood can devastate homes and infrastructure, and even cost human lives. Last year, more than 10,000 people were left homeless across the Northern Rivers region of New South Wales when the Wilson River broke its banks. Throughout southeast Queensland, more than 20,000 homes were inundated. The Insurance Council of Australia estimates the cost from this series of floods at $4.3 billion, the fourth highest damage bill from a natural disaster in Australia's history. Even 1 inch of flooding can cause significant damage and cost you thousands of dollars to fix. Unlike many insurers, Defence Service Homes, DSH Insurance, includes automatic flood cover at no additional cost, protecting policyholders against damage caused by weather events such as rain, storms and floods. DSH Insurance covers you for all kinds of flooding, including from lakes, creeks, dams and canals. You are insured for loss or damage caused by water from floods, tidal waves and storms. You will also have peace of mind knowing that a DSH insurance policy covers you for temporary accommodation if you are displaced from your home due to a flood, while structural and interior damage to your property is repaired. DSH Insurance offers replacement cover in the event of a total loss, a stress-free option to prevent you from being potentially underinsured. To make sure we get your premium right, we assess your individual flood risk at the address level. This involves calculating the premium using local flood mapping data and property factors such as building wall and roof type, elevation, and the cost to rebuild. You can get a home building insurance quote online in minutes at online.dsh.gov.au, with flood cover included in the quote at no additional cost. As always, terms and conditions apply. Visit our website at dsh.gov.au/insurance or talk to our customer service team today on 1300 552 662. Annual increase to travel allowances. Travel allowances for transport, meals and accommodation under DVA's Travel for Treatment program increased on the 1st of July 2023 in line with the Consumer Price Index. The increase applies to travel by private vehicle, as well as accommodation and meal allowances for all eligible veterans, war widows and widowers, entitled persons, travelling for treatment purposes or disability and income support claims. The increase also applies to entitled persons under the Australian Participants in British Nuclear Tests and British Commonwealth Occupation Force Treatment Act 2006 and the Treatment Benefits Special Access Act 2019. The intention of the program is to assist with travel expenses to the closest practical provider for an entitled person and their medically required attendant, not necessarily to reimburse the entire cost incurred. For further information on closest practical provider requirements and attendant travel, please visit the DVA website. Search for Claim Travel Expenses under the RTS. The Travel for Treatment program is available to holders of Veteran Gold Cards and Veteran White Cards, for specific conditions, eligible under the Veterans Entitlements Act 1986. They are entitled to assistance with travel expenses when travelling to receive treatment for an accepted service-related condition or for treatment of a specific condition covered under non-liability healthcare. Veteran Gold Cards under the Australian Participants in British Nuclear Tests and British Commonwealth Occupation Force Treatment Act 2006 and the Treatment Benefits Special Access Act 2019, who are entitled to assistance with travel expenses when attending approved treatment. For any queries about travel for treatment allowances, contact DVA on 1800 Veteran, that's 1800 838 372. Further information is also available on DVA's website. Table: New travel allowances from the 1st of July 2023. Producer's note: The table has four columns with the following headings: Type of allowance, Measure, New allowance from the 1st of July 2023, abbreviated to new allowance, and the multiplier for travel with a medically required attendant, abbreviated to multiplier. This column refers to the number of times an allowance is paid when an entitled person travels with a medically required attendant. For instance, if an entitled person shares a room with an attendant, only the allowance for one room is paid, times one. If they each have a single room, the allowance for both rooms is paid, times two. End producer's note. Type of allowance, private vehicle, measure, per kilometre. New allowance, 41.8 cents. Multiplier, times 1. Type of allowance, public, community or air transport, measure, actual fare. New allowance, actual fare. Multiplier, times 2. Type of allowance, taxi transport, measure, actual fare. New allowance, actual fare. Multiplier, times 1. Type of allowance, commercial accommodation, non-capital city, single, see note. Measure, per night. New allowance, $172.70. Multiplier, times 2. Type of allowance, commercial accommodation, capital city, single, see note. Measure, per night. New allowance, $205.20. Multiplier, times 2. Type of allowance, entitled person and medically required attendant, commercial accommodation, shared, see note. Measure, per night. New allowance, $280.90. Multiplier, times 1. Type of allowance, subsidised accommodation, single, see note. Measure, per night. New allowance, $107.90. Multiplier, times 2. Type of allowance, private accommodation. See note, measure, per night. New allowance, $53.80. Multiplier, times 2. Type of allowance, meal allowance. More than 50 kilometres but less than 200 kilometres from entitled person's home to the treatment location. Measure, per day. New allowance, $17.20. Multiplier, times 2. Type of allowance, meal allowance. More than 200 kilometres from entitled person's home to the treatment location. Measure, per day. New allowance, $34.90. Multiplier, times 2. Note, a meal allowance is not paid on a day where an accommodation allowance is paid, as a meal component is already built into the accommodation allowance. End note. End table. More New South Wales veterans receiving automatic rego renewals. More veterans living in New South Wales no longer need to attend a Service New South Wales centre in person to re-establish their eligibility for vehicle registration and driver's licence concessions each year. DVA clients who benefit from this system upgrade, courtesy of Transport for New South Wales, are those falling under the Military Rehabilitation and Compensation Act 2004. Specifically, it is for veterans who are SRDP eligible, Special Rate Disability Pension, those assessed with 50 or more impairment points, and wholly dependent partners. Eligible New South Wales clients simply need to ensure their DVA file number is recorded in the Transport for New South Wales system to automatically receive their concessions. To check if your DVA file number has been recorded, contact Service New South Wales on 137788. If it hasn't, the operator can process the request over the phone and validate your details. Alternatively, you can attend a service centre for assistance. For new concession clients, please call Service New South Wales or attend a service centre and provide your DVA file number to be set up in the system. You may also be eligible for a pro rata refund on your transaction. Once established in the system, concessions will automatically be applied to licence and registration transactions. There are no changes for eligible clients assessed under the Veterans Entitlements Act 1986. You already receive these benefits. In another great outcome for eligible New South Wales veterans, your vehicle registration will also automatically renew each year if you meet the eligibility criteria. To activate this benefit, make sure your DVA file number is recorded, your compulsory third-party CTP insurance has been received, and a vehicle e-safety check has been completed, if required. You can find more information about your entitlements in the Veterans Guide on the Service New South Wales website. service.nsw.gov.au/guide/veterans or on the app. The Defence Honours and Awards Appeals Tribunal. The Defence Honours and Awards Appeals Tribunal is an independent statutory body established under the Defence Act 1903 to consider defence honours and awards matters. The Tribunal provides an avenue for veterans to seek review of eligibility for a defence honour, a defence award, or a foreign award after an application has been refused by defence. A reviewable decision is a decision to refuse to recommend a person or a group of persons for a defence honour, such as a gallantry or conspicuous service award, a defence award, such as a campaign or long service award, or a foreign award. The service that is the subject of the reviewable decision needs to have been with or at the direction of the ADF and rendered after 3rd of September 1939, the beginning of the Second World War. It is important to note that the tribunal can only review defence decisions. This means that an initial application for an honour or award needs to be made to defence and refused before seeking review in the tribunal. A person seeking review in the tribunal must be either the person who made the original application to defence, or one of a group of people who made that application to defence. The tribunal cannot review applications to amend the eligibility criteria for defence honours, defence awards, or foreign awards, applications for Australian awards that are not defined as defence honours or defence awards under the Defence Regulation 2016, such as unit citations or badges, applications to create a new honour or award, or eligibility for repatriation benefits. More information about the tribunal, including how to make an application for review, can be found on its website, defence-honours-tribunal.gov.au. Alternatively, you can phone the tribunal secretariat on 02 6266 1019. Energy rebate to provide bill relief. The Commonwealth, state and territory governments are working together to provide targeted and temporary electricity bill relief to eligible households. You can get bill relief if you are the primary electricity account holder or, for some energy providers, another named account holder on your electricity account. You must also hold a pensioner concession card, a Commonwealth seniors health card, or a veteran gold card. Your household can only get one bill relief rebate, even if there is more than one eligible person living there. You can only get this bill relief for your principal place of residence. How much you get depends on where you live, with between $175 and $500 available to targeted households and $325 to $650 available to small businesses. If you are eligible, are not named on the bill, and you pay for electricity, contact your electricity provider to discuss your options. If you live in Queensland or Western Australia, you do not need to take any action because these state governments are including this energy bill relief in their state rebate programs, which are being given to all households. If you currently receive energy concessions, in most cases, the electricity provider will automatically apply the bill relief to your electricity account, and you do not need to do anything. This will reduce the amount you owe on your next bill. How and when this happens depends on where you live, as each state and territory may do things a little differently. If you don't receive energy concessions, please go to energy.gov.au/bill-relief to find a link to your state or territory with instructions about what to do. This could be to contact your energy provider or your state or territory government with your concession card type and the DVA file number on it. Give them consent to check your card online for payment of the rebate. If you get your electricity from your strata or landlord in a caravan park, apartment building, retirement home or village, and your household is eligible for the bill relief, you will not automatically receive the rebate. However, you will be able to access a direct payment through your state or territory government. Please check energy.gov.au/bill-relief for the latest information. Modernising DVA. My service changes. DVA is working to further modernise our technology, improving the efficiency of the claims administration system and the experience for veterans. This program of work will deliver important updates to MyService, the primary point of access to DVA's online services. The MyService changes will make it easier for you to do your DVA business online. You can submit claims and track their progress through MyService, add documents and other information to support your claim, as well as view the outcome. We are working towards expanding the types of documents and information you can provide when submitting claims in MyService. These updates will be progressively rolled out in the coming months. You can access official letters in MyService that confirm your DVA payments and concession entitlements. You can set your preferences in MyService to receive correspondence through your MyGov inbox and access a range of DVA letters. When you receive a letter from DVA in your MyGov inbox, MyGov will automatically send you a message to let you know you have mail, and you can access it on any device wherever you have internet access. Did you know that you can manage your income support needs, update personal and contact details, and view a digital version of your veteran card online? You can also book transport, apply for free mental health treatment, and claim travel reimbursements for approved medical treatment. For more information on the range of options, including how to register for MyService using your MyGov account, visit dva.gov.au/myservice. The department is committed to providing simple, accessible and modern online services for our veteran community. If you need help navigating the online environment, we're here to help. Call us on 1-800-VETERAN. That's 1-800-838-372. Forums inform DVA policy. In June, we hosted the Female Veterans and Veterans Families Policy Forums over two events in Canberra. In previous years, the forum has brought together women veterans and veteran family members to work on shared challenges. This year, two separate events allowed DVA and our participants more time to explore their unique perspectives in depth. Each policy forum brought a group of passionate and informed community members together with senior DVA leaders and policymakers. The Minister for Veterans Affairs, Matt Keogh MP, and DVA Secretary Alison Frame attended each forum and took the opportunity to engage in discussion with the forum members. Key topics explored at this year's events included protective factors for female veterans at risk of suicide, female veteran physical and mental health needs, family and domestic violence, the draft Defence and Veteran Family Strategy, housing insecurity and homelessness in the female veteran and veteran families communities, the Veterans Entitlements Legislative Reform Pathway. The forums take a solutions focus, so for each of the topics explored, the participants worked on practical solutions to make a meaningful difference. Participants were invited to present to the forums on initiatives they are driving in their communities. These insight presentations covered diverse and powerful topics, including the effects of traumatic brain injury, homelessness supports, recent medical research, recent experiences of transition from the ADF, and a range of new ex-service organisation projects. DVA uses the information and insights from the forums to directly inform our policy and programs and the ongoing improvements of DVA supports and services. Thank you for your ongoing support, for continually engaging with us to assist in the future for all veterans and families to come up with our ideas, real and viable solutions for future generations to come. Forum participant. DVA would like to thank all those who attended the forums for their time, energy and passion. A report summarising the discussions and feedback will be available on the DVA website later in 2023. Keep your eye out on our social media and latest news for updates. An accompanying photo shows participants at the Veterans Families Policy Forum. Budget 2023-24 supports veterans and families. The Australian Government is investing an additional $328.1 million over 4 years to support the more than 340,000 veterans and dependents accessing services through DVA. This builds on the $537.5 million invested in the October 2022 budget as part of the government's commitment to ensuring a better future for veterans and families. The 2023-24 federal budget makes significant investments that will further reduce the veteran compensation claims backlog. An investment of $64.1 million in 2023-24 will retain over 480 DVA staff who are working to deliver frontline services to veterans and families, and $254.1 million over 4 years has been provided to modernise and sustain ageing IT systems to ensure more timely payments and access to services for veterans and families through DVA. These investments support the government's response to the interim recommendations of the Royal Commission into Defence and Veteran Suicide. Funding has been provided for technology upgrades at the Sir John Monash Centre, with $7.4 million over 4 years, $8.3 million over 6 years, to maintain cutting-edge multimedia technology that gives visitors to the centre an interactive and immersive experience of what our diggers went through during the First World War. For more information, see the commemoration section. Other measures in the budget 2023-24 package supporting health and wellbeing include $500,000 over 4 years to expand eligibility for the acute support package introduced in the October 2022 budget to include grandcarers, grandparents who are also full-time carers of children of veterans. $2 million over 2 years to allow DVA to continue important mental health awareness and suicide intervention training for volunteers supporting veterans. For more information, visit dva.gov.au/budget, the numerals 2023-24. Advocate to help a mate. Just like Simpson and his donkey, Australians have a long history of helping their mates. Did you know that you can help your mates by volunteering with an ex-service organisation, ESO, as an advocate? Advocates associated with an ESO provide free, valuable advice and assistance to veterans and their families who are in need. There are two veteran advocacy categories. Wellbeing advocates help veterans and families access a broad range of government and community services, such as health and housing support, to maintain wellbeing. Compensation advocates help veterans and families submit compensation claims to the Department of Veterans Affairs. Some advocates can also assist with appeal processes. You don't need to be a veteran to become an advocate, and you can train in both categories. The Advocacy Training and Development Program, ATDP, provides free training available to ESO-associated advocates, supporting them to provide free quality advice to veterans and families. The program is a partnership between DVA and ESOs. ATDP provides a nationally accredited course in military advocacy delivered by major training services. The course consists of 6 elective units of competency across 2 major streams: well-being, 2 levels, and compensation, 4 levels. You can choose which units of competency you'd like to complete, depending on your interest. If you are interested in becoming an advocate, simply contact your local ESO. You can use the ATDP Advocacy Register to find the ESOs in your area at advocateregister.org.au. Veterans and their families can also use the ATDP Advocacy Register to find an advocate to access support. For more information about the training program, please visit the ATDP website, web.atdp.org.au. That concludes the section, News. Health and Wellbeing. High Blood Pressure in Veterans. Professor Jenny Furman, AM, Chief Health Officer, Department of Veterans Affairs. One of the most common things checked by doctors in routine consultations is blood pressure. In Australia, we know that 1/3 of the adult population has high blood pressure, hypertension, and cardiovascular disease causes about 25% of all deaths each year. Many of these deaths are preventable through early detection and treatment. Reducing high blood pressure can help to prevent stroke, coronary heart disease, chronic kidney disease, and the abnormal heart rhythm known as atrial fibrillation. If you needed another reason to be vaccinated for COVID, recent research in the UK has shown that in a large study looking at more than 16,000 people with the virus, those with high blood pressure had a 22% higher risk of hospitalisation and death than those with normal blood pressure. Those whose blood pressure was well controlled by medication had a similar risk to those without high blood pressure. Your doctor will check your blood pressure as part of an overall cardiovascular risk check. They will also check your lipids. This includes cholesterol, whether you have diabetes, your smoking history, your family history, and your age. Unfortunately, the risk of cardiovascular disease increases with age, a non-modifiable risk factor. While there have been improvements in the population in some of these risk factors, the vast majority, about 95%, of Australian adults still have at least one modifiable risk factor, and 2/3, 66%, have 3 or more risk factors at the same time. If your doctor finds that your blood pressure is high, they will often want to check this again at the next visit or ask you to do some measurements at home or to undergo ambulatory blood pressure measurement. The latter involves wearing a blood pressure monitor for 24 hours that records the pressure at regular intervals while the wearer goes about their usual activities during the day and at night while asleep. This provides the best information about blood pressure and can be very useful for those people with white coat hypertension whose blood pressure goes up whenever they are in a clinical setting, such as visiting their doctor. If your doctor finds your blood pressure is high, lifestyle interventions can help and are usually the first step, depending on cardiovascular risk. This means not smoking, eating a healthy diet, lots of vegetables, fruit, whole grains, low-fat dairy, fish, nuts, legumes, etc., being physically active, minimum of 2.5 hours of exercise per week, reducing salt, reducing alcohol, and maintaining a healthy weight. If blood pressure is not reduced sufficiently, medication may be needed. In the 1960s and 1970s, there were far fewer medication options available, and we are fortunate today that there are three main types of medication available that can control blood pressure in most people. Commonly, more than one antihypertensive is required to reach our blood pressure goal, and there can be differences in how each person may respond to each medication. Research has shown that two medications at a lower dose can be more effective than a single medication at a higher dose, with reduced side effects. Fortunately, combined medications are readily available, so the overall number of pills does not need to increase. For a minority, even three medications may not control their blood pressure sufficiently, and they may require specialist advice regarding further medication. In addition to routine consultations, your doctor can provide you with a heart health check if you are aged 45 and over under Medicare. DVA covers this and also provides the one-off veteran health check, dva.gov.au/health-check, that includes checking cardiovascular risk, as does the annual veteran health check that is available annually for 5 years after transition from the ADF, from the 1st of July 2019. You may also be eligible for the DVA Heart Health Program, dva.gov.au/heart-health. This aims to increase your physical health, fitness and well-being by providing practical exercise resources, nutritional advice and healthy lifestyle coaching for 12 months. The program is free and open to all veterans and peacekeepers with operational service and those covered under the ADF Firefighter Scheme who have not previously participated in the program. Everyone should know their blood pressure and check it regularly. If you are prescribed medication, it is important to take it every day. Whether you take your medication in the morning or night, the most important thing is to take it as prescribed. The cardiovascular disease death rate fell by 82% between 1968 and 2015, and that is due to the availability of improved clinical treatment, widespread use of medication to reduce cholesterol levels, and more effective blood pressure medications. Making sure you address cardiovascular risk factors can help you to enjoy a long and healthy life as you age. Team Australia heads to 2023 Invictus Games. A message from Invictus Australia. It is an exciting year for defence and veteran sport, with the Invictus Games to be held from the 9th to the 16th of September in Dusseldorf, Germany. Earlier this year, Minister for Veterans Affairs and Minister for Defence Personnel, Matt Keogh, announced the incredible 31 competitors who form Team Australia and will compete in the Games, coming up against more than 500 participants from 21 countries. The Invictus Games is an international, adaptive, multi-sport competition for former and current serving military personnel who have been wounded, injured, or become ill during their military service. Team Australia competitors will take part in a range of adaptive sports, including athletics, indoor rowing, powerlifting, road cycling, sitting volleyball, table tennis, swimming, wheelchair basketball, and wheelchair rugby. Assistant Minister for Defence and Assistant Minister for Veterans Affairs, Matt Thistlethwaite, announced Flight Sergeant Nathan King and Able Seaman Taryn Dickens as the co-captains of Team Australia at the team's fourth training camp in June. The pair will lead the 31-strong team comprised of serving and former serving military personnel. More than 90 of the team's family and friends will also join them at the Games. Aircraft technician Flight Sergeant King is participating in his second Games in order to refocus his training and continue his recovery from a sports accident that left him in intensive care for 6 weeks and with limited use of his left leg. Flight Sergeant King said the role of co-captain was an honour, as he wanted to use his second Invictus experience to assist in mentoring new competitors. "To come back, my focus was on being a mentor for the team from what I'd learned from the first Games. But to have that platform of co-captain, it's a great honour," he said. Able Seaman Dickens, a weapons rate electronics technician who is now assigned to HMAS Harman, expressed her enthusiasm and astonishment at being named team leader. "I'm both shocked and extremely honoured to be named as a co-captain," she said. "The reaction I got from the team surprised me again, but it's really humbling to hear the support in the room when something like that happens. That is the first time I've been announced as a captain of anything, so it's pretty cool." Amid the announcement of co-captains, the Assistant Minister, Chef de Mission Brigadier Phil Winter, and Invictus Australia Chairman James Brown also presented official team shirts and enjoyed some celebratory cake. There was also a flurry of training activities and preparation for competitors at the Sydney Academy of Sport and Recreation. Competitors spent time honing their skills in their elected sports, bonding as a team, and discussing strategies with their coaches. This included an exhibition game of wheelchair basketball for the Assistant Minister and other guests. Participating in veteran sport and physical activity is an important contributor to health and well-being, particularly during recovery and rehabilitation from injury or illness. Sport brings people together, instills mental resilience, provides opportunities to connect with broader communities, and helps to create new friendships. The Invictus Games demonstrate the power of sport to positively influence the recovery, rehabilitation, and reintegration of former and current serving defence veterans who have been wounded, injured, or become ill during their service. This philosophy underpins Invictus Australia's work to impact a broader audience of veterans and families. Team Australia is delivered in partnership between Invictus Australia and the ADF, with DVA providing funding to underpin Invictus Australia's support of the team, as well as expansion into local communities. We can't wait to get behind all of the competitors, coaches, and volunteers who will represent Australia at the next Invictus Games in Dusseldorf. Visit our website, invictusaustralia.org, to find out ways that you can get involved or support our veteran community. Accompanying photos show Team Australia for Invictus Games Dusseldorf 2023, Flight Sergeant Nathan King, Able Seaman Taryn Dickens, and Assistant Minister for Defence and Veterans Affairs Matt Thistlethwaite during the announcement of the co-captains of Team Australia for Invictus Games, and Team Australia's wheelchair basketball competitors in action ahead of the Invictus Games. Is Anger Thwarting Your Life Goals? By Dr. Loretta Puerio, Senior Mental Health Advisor, Department of Veterans Affairs. I want to talk about anger, a much misunderstood emotion which helps us cope in many ways, but can also be used for less helpful purposes. Anger is useful in providing us the energy to deal with threats, whether physical or psychological. It becomes less helpful when anger becomes the habitual response to a world that is perceived as threatening. This can lead to problematic anger, with adverse impacts on us personally, our relationships, employment, and social standing. Being able to regulate, note I did not say control, our emotions, is a core requirement for our physical and mental well-being. Emotions have been conceptualized as falling into four basic groups: happiness, sadness, fear, and anger, which are linked to three core experiences: reward, happiness, punishment, sadness, and stress, fear and anger. In this model, fear can explain the flight response, anger, the frustration of thwarted goals, joy, the sense of achievement, and sadness, the experience of loss. Basic emotions evolved to ensure our survival, with fear and anger enabling us to flee for safety or fight to defend ourselves from danger. Emotions range along a continuum rather than being an on-off phenomenon. The anger continuum ranges from mild annoyance through to intense rage that can lead to physical violence. It is the result of a chain reaction of physiological changes within our body connected to the flight-flight response. Central to this is the amygdala, the part of our brain that scans for and reacts to perceived threats in our environment. Importantly, these physiological changes include blocking access to the logical and rational problem-solving parts of the brain. This is the part of the brain that can calm us down when our emotions escalate and we become prone to reacting rather than reflecting. Does this sound familiar? A number of myths surround our view of anger, one of which is that venting anger is good for us. Research shows that venting can actually escalate feelings of anger and the potential for aggressive behaviour. Suppressing anger is also not recommended. The old pressure cooker analogy comes to mind here. Being able to take a step back, such as by counting to 10 or going for a walk, reflecting, and then appropriately expressing what is happening for you in a way that engages your higher order problem-solving skills, prefrontal cortex, may allow you to bring a different perspective to the situation. Then perhaps you can begin working through the issues that are triggering the strong emotional response. The thing about anger is that it can be seen as the tip of a very big iceberg, hiding a range of emotions that we may not be comfortable expressing. Anger can hide experiences of fear, disappointment, embarrassment, shame, worry, sadness, and loss, among others. A poor communication style can also contribute to feelings of anger through being misinterpreted and engendering a lack of trust in the world and people around you. Research in this area has found a strong association in military populations between anger and post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, as well as other mental health conditions. An Australian study looking at current and ex-serving military members found significant anger issues present in the population who seek treatment for PTSD. Further, studies of US and Australian veterans have indicated an association between problematic anger and suicidality. There is much more to learn about the role that anger, and especially problematic anger, plays in recovery from a range of mental health conditions. If you or those you love think that anger could be managed better, then the suggestions below may be useful. The first step is to increase awareness, both of the situations that trigger your anger and your body's early warning signs: heart pounding, jaw clenching, chest tightening. This will provide information to manage difficult situations in your life more appropriately. Acknowledging the issue that has triggered your anger to yourself and others. You may do this by writing down what is going on for you. Writing is a great way to engage the logical, problem-solving parts of the brain. It also provides a way to externalize your concerns and so clarify them to yourself. Learning strategies to manage anger, such as learning to tolerate and accept feelings of discomfort as part of life, relaxation, taking time out, problem solving, reframing, and learning assertiveness skills. For example, learning to visualize a situation that would trigger anger and rehearsing how you could deal with it without becoming angry. Open Arms, Veterans and Families Counseling Service, runs a range of courses, including Doing Anger Differently. It also offers a range of fact sheets. You can contact Open Arms on 1800 011 046 or visit openarms.gov.au to find the full list. These are the first steps to changing your behaviour. Acknowledging that this is an issue for you is key, as is the motivation to change. If anger is thwarting your ability to meet your valued goals, perhaps now is a good time to change strategies. Veterans Mates, an evidence-based program that's saving lives. The Veterans Medicines Advice and Therapeutics Education Services, or Veterans Mates program, supports improved health outcomes for the 150,000 veterans who are prescribed medicines each year. This preventative healthcare program focuses on preventing adverse health outcomes for veterans who take multiple medications, such as hospitalizations or unwanted increased side effects. The program uses de-identified healthcare billing information linked to DVA veteran cards to determine where medications can have unforeseen impact or cause complications. They then use this information to directly contact veterans who could be at risk so they can get the most appropriate care and manage their health more effectively. The program has been very successful, reaching more than 300,000 veterans over the past 18 years and helping 67,500 veterans access necessary care, including the prevention of hospitalizations and potentially harmful drug interactions and negative side effects. There has been recent media reporting relating to concerns about the use of veterans' data through the Veterans Mates program. While there has been no systemic data breach, this program uses de-identified veterans' health data. This data is only identifiable if the veteran is potentially at risk and would benefit from a review of their medication use. All data used by the program is governed by privacy laws and is strictly confidential. It is only used to support improved health outcomes for the veteran community. More information about the MATES program and the use of personal information can be found at veteransmates.net.au. The Veterans Mates Program is a collaboration between DVA and the University of South Australia and is led by an internationally recognised team of experts, with a recent report from the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, calling the impact of the program significant. In fact, 84% of GPs who gave feedback on the program said that at least one of their veteran patients required a review of the medicines they use. Dr. Brad Murphy is a GP leading a veteran-centric health centre and a veteran himself. He considers that opportunities to review best practice in my clinic, especially in regards to medications, allow me to optimise patient care on an individual level. Associate Professor Woodward of the Royal Australasian College of Physicians urges all veterans to consider the benefits of this really good program. Your healthcare team want to ensure you receive information if you're at risk. Dr. Graham Keller, a former RAAF doctor of 24 years and the Australian Medical Association representative on the Veterans Mates Editorial Committee, says use of multiple medications or polypharmacy is a risk for many people in Australia. The fact that veterans and their doctors have support in managing this often complex area is such an advantage. Veterans Mates is a good program, delivering real-life health benefits for Australia's veteran community. For more information about the program, visit veteransmates.net.au or contact DVA at vetmates@dva.gov.au. Supporting veterans with chronic health conditions. DVA's Coordinated Veterans Care, CVC, program is designed to support eligible veterans diagnosed with one or more chronic health conditions to better manage their ongoing healthcare needs. Veterans may be eligible for the CVC program if they are either a gold card holder and have one or more chronic health conditions, or a white card holder with a chronic mental health condition accepted by DVA. The CVC program encourages veterans to play an active role in managing their health and well-being. For people with chronic health conditions, the program provides support in managing complex care needs and can help to reduce the risk of unplanned hospitalisation. The CVC program is modelled on person-centric care, meaning care is tailored to the needs of the individual, working collaboratively with a core care team consisting of a GP and a care coordinator, typically a practice nurse. Working with their team, program participants are actively involved in developing a comprehensive care plan and supported to achieve their health goals and better manage their chronic health conditions. If you have a chronic condition, if your GP or health professional has been treating the same health condition regularly for 6 months or more, or if you've been self-managing the same ongoing health condition for longer than 6 months, including mental health, you may have a chronic health condition. You can talk to your GP if you think you have a chronic condition and discuss if the CVC program is suitable for you. Having one or more chronic health conditions can have negative impacts on your daily life. It can reduce your independence, limit your ability to participate in activities, and require ongoing medical care. While chronic conditions occur more frequently in older people, they can affect people of any age, and you can experience both physical and psychological symptoms. Treatment can include a variety of interventions, such as lifestyle management, medication, therapy, and surgery. The good news is that in many cases, making healthy lifestyle choices helps prevent, delay, and manage the symptoms of diagnosed chronic health conditions. If you have been diagnosed with one or more chronic health conditions and meet the eligibility criteria, you may be eligible to access ongoing care under the CVC program through your GP. More information about the CVC program, including eligibility, is available on the DVA website. Search for CVC program or by calling 1-800-VETERAN. That's 1-800-838-372. Vietnam veterans celebrated with Open Arms 40th anniversary. Open Arms, Veterans and Families Counselling, has provided mental health support to ADF personnel and their immediate families for over 40 years. Founded by veterans for veterans as the Vietnam Veterans Counselling Service, the nationally accredited mental health service aims to improve the lives of those who have served by offering military-aware and trauma-informed care while breaking down barriers. In June, the Canberra Open Arms Office celebrated 40 years since it opened its doors, and the anniversary has led many to reflect on the role Vietnam veterans played in establishing the service. Alongside the 40th anniversary of the Canberra Office of Open Arms, this year marks the 50th anniversary of the end of Australia's involvement in the Vietnam War. As Australians commemorate the sacrifices made by those who served in our longest 20th century conflict, Open Arms plays a significant role in preserving their enduring legacy. Assistant Minister for Veterans Affairs Matt Thistlethwaite met with several Vietnam veterans at the celebration and expressed his gratitude to those who were instrumental in advocating for this vital mental health service. "We are thankful that these veterans and families fought for this vital service, which today helps so many," Minister Thistlethwaite said. He emphasised that the veteran community, whether veterans themselves or family members, should take pride in Open Arms. Open Arms embodies the mateship and selflessness of the veteran community. The military-aware and trauma-informed service that Open Arms provides is here for anyone who has served one day in the ADF and their immediate family, Minister Thistlethwaite said. Open Arms National Manager Leonie Noland is the daughter of a Korean War veteran and knows firsthand how important mental health support can be for both veterans and veteran families. "I am so proud to be involved with Open Arms and witness how it can be a lifeline for those struggling with mental health issues," Ms. Noland said. "Any veteran or veteran family member can take comfort in the fact that free, specialised support is available to them day or night," she said. "As Open Arms continues to deepen and mature its support, it is a testament to the resilience and dedication of Vietnam veterans who fought for the establishment of this critical mental health service." With over 35 centres across the country, Open Arms continues to provide vital support to more than 34,000 veterans and their families, and has become an invaluable resource for those in need of mental health assistance. If you're looking for counselling and support services for yourself or your immediate family, you can call Open Arms Veterans and Families Counselling 24/7 on 1800 011 046 for free and confidential advice. For more information, visit the Open Arms website, openarms.gov.au. Do you have diabetes? DVA can help. Whether you've recently been diagnosed or you've been living with diabetes for some time, DVA has information and services to help you manage and live well with diabetes. If you hold a veteran gold card or a white card with diabetes as a DVA-accepted condition, here are some of the ways DVA can help. Health checks with your general practitioner, GP. DVA funds an annual health assessment with a GP through the Veterans Health Check. This check is an important opportunity to access early intervention care and appropriate referrals to a range of allied health professionals. Coordinated Veterans Care Program. DVA offers access to ongoing care and management of diabetes and other conditions for eligible veteran gold card holders through this program. Reimbursement of diabetes memberships. DVA will refund the cost of your membership in your state or territory diabetes organisation. Co-payment for some products purchased through the National Diabetes Services Scheme, NDSS. Once registered, you can access a range of subsidised diabetes products from your local pharmacy. DVA helps by funding your NDSS co-payment for these subsidised products. Access to DVA-funded diabetes products delivered to your door. You can also choose to receive your diabetes products from DVA. The DVA Rehabilitation Appliances Program has an Australia-wide network of suppliers who can deliver diabetes products to you at no cost. Diabetes footwear. DVA's medical-grade footwear program can supply eligible clients with diabetic footwear. Your GP or specialist can help you get access to these products and services. Diabetes affects more than 1 million Australians. A diagnosis of diabetes may be quite overwhelming, but plenty of support is available. Visit your GP if you think you might have or are at risk of having diabetes, or if it's been a while since you've checked in. For more information about accessing these services and supports, please visit dva.gov.au/diabetes or call 1800 838 372. Get involved in Veterans Health Week 2023. Veterans Health Week, VHW, is a major annual event on the veterans calendar that many in the community look forward to. This year, VHW will be held during 8th to the 15th of October with the theme Mental Wellness Matters. VHW shines a spotlight on the importance of health and well-being and encourages veterans and families to get involved in events and activities in their local communities. DVA provides funding to eligible ex-service organisations and community groups to deliver fun and engaging events to their local defence and veteran communities right across the country. With the help of these events, VHW aims to improve health and wellness outcomes by increasing awareness of issues that are commonly experienced by the veteran community, connecting them to health literacy information, programs, and support. Events and activities held in VHW 2023 will help to equip veterans and families with the skills to better cope with the daily stresses of life, keep on top of their mental health, and make meaningful connections and contributions to community. VHW events and activities will include yoga, golf, walking and running clubs, water sports, coffee catch-ups, and more. They will support veterans to learn how they can make and instill healthy lifestyle choices as part of their daily lives to improve their mental wellness now and in the future. Learning how to access support and take proactive steps to improve mental wellness is particularly important for veterans and all those in the veteran community who are exposed to and experience higher levels of trauma and mental ill health than those in the general population. Veterans Health Week, 8th to the 15th of October 2023. Mental Wellness Matters. More information, including on how to register for events, is available on the DVA website at dva.gov.au/VHW. September signals Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. September is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month and is a timely reminder to have important conversations about men's health. If you are a male, aged 60 or over, there is a strong possibility you or one of your mates has or will be diagnosed with prostate cancer at some point in their life. Prostate cancer is the most commonly diagnosed cancer in Australia. It affects men in older age groups and is rare in men under 50 years of age. Research published by the Cancer Council shows that by the age of 85, 1 in 6 males will have been diagnosed with prostate cancer. However, it's not all doom and gloom. 90% of males are diagnosed early, and the likelihood of survival is good. Depending on the type and stage, some men don't need treatment and will be closely monitored instead. If you've been diagnosed by your doctor with prostate cancer and hold a veteran white card, you might be eligible to receive fully funded cancer treatment under DVA's Non-Liability Healthcare, NLHC. Cancer treatment covered under NLHC may include allied health, GP care and specialist care, scans and blood tests, as well as treatment options such as chemotherapy, radiation therapy, surgery, or hormone therapy. Prostate cancer can cause symptoms such as blood in your urine, a weak or interrupted stream, needing to urinate often, pain while urinating, incontinence, pain in the back, or weak legs or feet. However, these symptoms may have other causes, so talk to your doctor if you have any of these symptoms. There is no single or simple test for prostate cancer. If you don't have symptoms, talk to your doctor about the pros and cons of the tests available in your individual circumstances. Your doctor or health professional may help you to make an informed decision about being tested. For more information about prostate cancer testing and treatment, visit the website of the Prostate Cancer Foundation at pcfa.org.au. For more information about funded prostate cancer treatment, including eligibility, call us on 1-800-VETERAN. That's 1-800-838-372. That concludes the section Health and Wellbeing. Widows News. Enhancing wellbeing and inclusiveness through transport assistance. A message from Australian War Widows Queensland. Thanks to the generous support of the Eastern Star Foundation, Australian War Widows Queensland, AWWQ, has made significant strides in enhancing the well-being and social inclusiveness of its members who were facing transportation challenges. With an additional grant of $50,000 this year from the Foundation, AWWQ continues to have a positive impact on the well-being of war widows across the state. One of the key initiatives undertaken by AWWQ was the acquisition of a 12-seater minivan. This minivan has become a lifeline for our members, providing personalised transportation services to attend the organisation's outings and events. The availability of this vehicle has not only enhanced the overall enjoyment of the events, but has also significantly reduced the stress associated with travelling to and from venues. For many members in their golden years of life, this service has proven to be invaluable. Judy Smith, State President of War Widows Queensland, expressed immense gratitude towards the Eastern Star Foundation for its generous grant. Judy emphasised the crucial role that transportation plays in facilitating social interactions and promoting social inclusion, making the Transport Assistance Program a vital lifeline for many members. With the support of the Eastern Star Foundation, AWWQ has been able to make a tangible difference in the lives of war widows, she said. The organisation holds group meetings across Queensland, spanning from Cairns to Currumbin. Since receiving the grant, we have been able to distribute over 2,000 cab charge tickets to members who face transport difficulties attending events and meetings due to the loss of their driver's licence. One of the primary objectives of AWWQ is to promote fellowship and provide avenues for social interaction through regular gatherings. This initiative has not only fostered social interaction, but also allowed members to forge meaningful connections within the organisation, enriching their lives and combating social isolation. Last year, AWWQ proudly celebrated its 75th anniversary with an exciting calendar of events. We were particularly thrilled to commemorate the first ever War Widows Day on October the 19th, a day dedicated by the Queensland Government. Queensland became the first state in Australia to receive this honour, and the dedication has since been embraced by New South Wales, South Australia, and Western Australia. AWWQ is having another eventful year with the highly anticipated annual Friendship Day event in Redlands in August. This gathering brings together members from all corners of Queensland to celebrate the bonds of friendship. For more information, you can contact the Australian War Widows Queensland head office on 07 3846 7706. An accompanying photo shows directors of Australian War Widows Queensland and Eastern Star Foundation, ESF, at the unveiling of the new minivan funded through an ESF grant. WA Premier's ANZAC Student Tour Awards. A message from Australian War Widows WA Incorporated. One of the highlights of our year at Australian War Widows WA Incorporated is hosting the ceremony to announce the successful participants in the annual Premier's ANZAC Student Tour. An annual competition open to all Western Australian students in years 8 to 11, the tour is a unique opportunity for student ambassadors to investigate the ANZAC legacy. On the 2nd of March, our community centre was abuzz with dignitaries, students and their families. Mark McGowan, former Premier of Western Australia, gave the official address and was more than happy to make himself available for photos with the students and their families. Joshua Patrick, a Year 10 student from Northam Senior High School, responded to the Premier's address on behalf of the students. His speech was heartfelt, and he demonstrated maturity way beyond his years. It was evident that he, together with the other students, truly understand the spirit of the ANZACs. Other guest speakers included Ms. Meredith Hammett, Parliamentary Secretary and Member for Mirrabooka, representing the Minister for Education, Ms. Malaysia Sands, Deputy Director General, Schools, Department of Education, and Mr. Duncan Anderson, State President, RSL, WA. Mr. Neil Darby, Assistant Executive Director, Statewide Services, Department of Education, was MC for the event. A delightful afternoon tea followed the presentations, which gave students and their families a chance to mingle with guests and to relax and enjoy their success prior to departing on their tour to Sydney and New Zealand. An accompanying photo shows Mark McGowan, former Premier of Western Australia, with students and other special guests at the presentation of student ambassadorships. A call to war widows in Melbourne. We're looking for Victorian war widows in the inner city northwest suburbs of Melbourne who would be interested in connecting with other war widows in the area. If this applies to you, please contact the Australian War Widows National Office on 0427 735 871 or email wwidowsnat@bigpond.com to register your interest. War Widows Day recognised in WA. A message from Australian War Widows WA Incorporated. On Monday, the 24th of April 2023, former Premier Mark McGowan announced that October the 19th would be recognised as War Widows Day in Western Australia. Plans are being made for an official reception on War Widows Day, when it is hoped as many war widows and widowers as possible will attend this memorable occasion. War Widows Day officially recognises and acknowledges the sacrifice of war widows from all conflicts whose husbands and loved ones gave their lives for our country. It finally affords war widows the gratitude and respect they deserve. War Widows Day should prompt all Western Australians to reflect on the grief and loss felt by thousands of women over the last 100 years or so. Hopefully, it will remind them that the freedom and liberty we enjoy in Australia today is due to the ultimate sacrifice made by the husbands and loved ones of war widows and their families. Western Australia now joins Queensland, New South Wales and South Australia in having an official War Widows Day in their state. Australian War Widows is looking forward to having a national War Widows Day announced prior to the 19th of October, the birth date of its founder, Mrs. Jessie Vasey, OBE, CBE. There have been many dynamic and dedicated women over the past 76 years who have shaped Australian War Widows WA Incorporated into what it is today. Members are extremely proud of their husband's service and extremely proud to be an Australian War Widow. Australian War Widows WA provides information and support for war widows from all theatres of conflict. Should you or anyone you know need assistance or support, please contact our office on 08 9371 7470 or email us at warwidowswa@bigpond.com. An accompanying photograph shows Mrs. Kay Hare, Ms. Emily Cook, Paul Papalia, Minister for Veterans Issues, Mark McGowan, former Premier, Mrs. Hazel Donald, Mrs. Sue Wilson, and Mrs. Jan McLeod. South Australian War Widows honoured with Day of Commemoration. A message from the Australian War Widows, South Australia. South Australia will formally recognise the contribution and personal sacrifices of war widows and widowers with an annual day of commemoration on the 19th of October. The declaration of a special day is a small token in recognising and honouring widows and widowers of those who made the ultimate sacrifice by serving in the ADF. It also highlights the ongoing work of Australian War Widows, South Australia Incorporated, and their dedication to the well-being of families who have lost a loved one to war service for Australia. The announcement took place at the Port Pirie RSL Museum Club on the 16th of March by the South Australian Veterans Affairs Minister, Jeff Brock, in his home electorate. The War Widows Guild of Australia was established in 1945 by Jessie Vasey, whose birthday has been chosen as the commemoration date. The organisation is dedicated to supporting war widows from all conflicts by providing friendship, support and advocacy for those who have been affected by loss through service. It is important that we acknowledge these families in our community that have faced unthinkable grief, but who, in true defence family style, demonstrate resilience and strength after losing a loved one to service, said South Australian Premier Peter Malinauskas. On behalf of all South Australians, I thank the widows and widowers in our community for their service and for the immeasurable sacrifices they have made. On the 19th of October 2023, we will come together to honour these respected members of our community and pay tribute to their dedication, service and sacrifice. Diane Carr, President of Australian War Widows, South Australia Incorporated, said, "Our community is made of strong and supportive women and men who have experienced terrible loss, but who want to continue to make a difference in the lives of all defence families. We are very grateful that the South Australian Government has chosen to honour these people and commemorate War Widows Day on the 19th of October each year." Further details about commemorative activities to mark the first War Widows Day on the 19th of October 2023 will be publicised in the coming months and on our website, warwidowssa.org.au. An accompanying photo shows Vice President Jan Millam, President Diane Carr, Secretary Maria Barclay, Helen Adamson, Julie Broome, and South Australia's Minister for Veterans Affairs, Jeff Brock, holding Bilbo at the Soldiers' Biscuits display. 28th Field of Remembrance Dedication Ceremony and Anzac Day Service. A message from Australian War Widows ACT Incorporated. For the last 28 years, on the Friday prior to Anzac Day, the ACT branch of the Australian War Widows has held an Anzac Day service in the grounds of the Sir Leslie Morshead Manor, El Alamein Village, Lynham. This year, the service was well attended, including by representatives of the Chiefs of Navy, Army and Air Force, the Federal and ACT governments, as well as several embassies and high commissions and ex-service organisations. The Master of Ceremonies, Richard Cruz, led the service, and widows Mrs. Patricia Quiggan and Annette Sadler recited prayers. Wreaths were laid and families were given the opportunity to lay a cross for their loved one on the Field of Remembrance. Following the service, refreshments were provided by RSL Life Care in the dining room of the Sir Leslie Morshead Manor. We thank Ms. Kerry Morris of RSL Life Care for organising this memorable event each year. Members of the ACT branch of Australian War Widows are working with the ACT government to recognise War Widows Day in the ACT on the 19th of October 2023. The chosen day is the birthday of the founder of War Widows Guild, Mrs. Jessie Vasey. Queensland and New South Wales had their inaugural day in 2022. For more information, contact State President Robin Mitchell at actwarwidows@outlook.com. An accompanying photograph shows AWWACT State President Robin Mitchell and other VIPs attending the ceremony. That concludes the section Widows News. ESO News. Former sailor gets hands dirty in post-disaster ops. A message from Disaster Relief Australia. Friendship, camaraderie and being there for communities on their worst day are but a few of the reasons Peter Marie Grant volunteers with Disaster Relief Australia, DRA. A former radio operator with the Royal Australian Navy, Peter Marie joined DRA's South Queensland team in 2018. Since then, she has become an integral part of the organisation. As a volunteer, Peter Marie uses her skills and experience from the ADF to unite with fellow veterans, emergency responders and civilians and deploy to disaster-hit communities domestically and around the globe. Peter Marie's day job with Queensland Fire and Emergency Services sees her involved with disaster response in numerous ways, including incident management, coordination and control centre operations. Her voluntary role with DRA, however, gives her the opportunity to assist on the front line after a disaster and to get her hands dirty on the ground. For Peter Marie, it is a chance to work side by side with serving and former members of the ADF and provide practical, life-changing and direct help to communities who have lost everything in floods, fires or extreme climate events. "There is no organisation like Disaster Relief Australia," said Peter Marie. "We are there when the waters have receded and the fires are out. We are there when many people need the most help and support, the recovery phase. Our work can be as practical as removing damaged furniture or clearing fallen trees, but the difference this can make to someone and how they feel about their situation is unbelievable. To know you have played a role in that is life-changing and it is addictive. The highlights of volunteering with an organisation such as DRA are numerous, and they are significant. In addition to the essential role it plays in the recovery of a disaster-hit community, DRA offers a unique support network for veterans and first responders who can often feel adrift after leaving the ADF or an emergency service. The structure and nature of DRA operations echo military operations and provide the opportunity for veterans to continue to serve and use their hard-earned skills and discipline. For Peter Marie, volunteering with DRA is an opportunity to spend time and build valuable relationships with fellow veterans and first responders, as well as civilians who come from every walk of life. While the experience of deploying on an operation is unrivaled, the buzz and opportunity of volunteering with DRA does not begin and end with deployment. DRA offers ongoing training opportunities to its volunteers, which Peter Marie has also taken advantage of. She has trained for strike team leader roles and to work within DRA's incident management team, which is responsible for overseeing an operation. She has also undertaken a mental health course and consequently has a much better understanding of PTSD. In Peter Marie's opinion, there is no other organisation like DRA. It ticks every box. For all the communities I've helped and new skills I've gained, I've also made some fantastic and lifelong friends and, once again, found the camaraderie I felt in the Navy, she said. To find out more about DRA and to join up, go to disasterreliefaus.org. An accompanying photo shows Peter Marie Grant hard at work as a DRA volunteer. Friendships for Life forged on the RSL Remembrance Ride. A message from the Returned and Services League of Australia. In May 2023, a group of committed veteran cyclists successfully completed the RSL Remembrance Ride, a 457-kilometre ride of the Central West Cycle Trail in New South Wales. Each day, the group rode for around 4 hours, and by night, they camped in towns along the trail. At each destination, they held a commemorative service at a local memorial, cenotaph or RSL. These services highlighted the importance of remembering those who went before us and the imperative of supporting returning service personnel struggling with post-operational physical and mental trauma. The annual RSL Remembrance Ride began in 2022 to provide an opportunity for veterans to challenge themselves in a mentally supportive environment, connect with other veterans and the veteran communities in the towns along the route, and raise funds for the upkeep of war memorials. The RSL Remembrance Ride has been an outstanding opportunity to cycle with fellow veterans from all services, said former Navy Chief Petty Officer Dave Cunningham. There was a camaraderie forged as we rode through an amazing variety of tracks and landscapes that left an indelible impression on the riders. An unexpected bonus has been the opportunity to learn the history of different towns from the locals. This ride has been the experience of a lifetime. Former Army Major Shane Douglas saw a post on the RSL Australia Facebook page promoting the event. He hadn't ridden a bicycle since suffering a nasty crash in 2017. He was hesitant, as he has been dealing with physical and mental health issues after being medically discharged from the Army, but his wife encouraged him to give it a go. "I'm so glad I took her advice," Shane said. "The ride was fantastic. It's given me that extra motivation to continue on this fitness pathway. Thanks to a special bunch of people who made this tour so memorable. Thanks again for allowing me to participate, and I look forward to the next RSL cycle tour, where hopefully I'll be a lean, mean cycling machine." Planning is underway for the next RSL Remembrance Ride in early 2024. The RSL Remembrance Ride is part of the RSL Active program, which supports sports and well-being events and activities for veterans. To learn more, visit rslaustralia.org/RSL-active. Supporting the work of Keith Payne, VC-AM. A message from Rick Meehan, OAM-JP, Keith Payne VC Veterans Benefit Group, KPVC-VBG. The KPVC-VBG was established in 2018 under the guidance of Australia's oldest Victoria Cross, VC recipient, Mr. Keith Payne, VC, AM, DSC, US, SS, US. The work of the group is to continue the many years of work he has done advocating for veterans, both serving and in retirement. The group is made up of veterans from all three services, as well as different trades, ages, genders, and deployments, which makes for a dynamic and experience-filled mix. As an old soldier, Keith is very supportive of our organisation and puts the veterans and families first and foremost. "I'm extremely proud," said Keith. "They are covering all the bases as much as possible, looking after the veterans. Some time ago, I approached Rick Meehan, OAM, and Fred Campbell to carry on my life's work looking after veterans. I'm not getting any younger. They started locally, and their reach is always expanding. They are doing a fantastic job, and it's a model that should be copied right throughout Australia. I must congratulate both men on their work and achievements looking after veterans." On a local level, our group holds a bi-weekly walk-to-talk session in the Shoalhaven, New South Wales, which enables veterans, family and friends to mix with like-minded people. We have close affiliations with the two main Navy bases, HMAS Albatross and HMAS Creswell, and the parachute training school in the region. We hold an annual Digger Day rugby game, which includes a visit by many of our VC, George Cross and Cross of Valour recipients from around Australia and the world, who are flown in by the Fleet Air Arm. We are heavily involved in NAIDOC Week, with a focus on commemorating local Indigenous servicemen. In addition, we have added the loss of the destroyers HMAS Voyager and USS Frankie Evans commemorative ceremonies to our extensive list of activities. Given a number of our members are Fleet Air Arm members and were on board HMAS Melbourne during one or both of these sad events, the commemorations are very fitting and moving. Our group was at the forefront in discovering 16 forgotten First World War veterans who were laid to rest in the Nowra General Cemetery and other local cemeteries in unmarked graves. With the support of a local historian and DVA, 15 of the graves have now received proper war graves over the plot, with the graves rededicated by Navy chaplains from HMAS Albatross. Several years ago, we received a substantial grant from DVA to establish the Veteran Surfing Project, aimed at using surfing and the ocean as a way to support veterans with post-traumatic stress, PTS. This project was a huge success in providing support for our veterans. Every year, we also participate in DVA's Veterans Health Week initiatives, all of which bring veterans together and are an opportunity to promote health and well-being. On a more strategic level, as well as engaging with many other ex-service organisations, our group engages with various ministers and government officials. We have extremely strong ties with DVA. All staff we have dealt with are very supportive and helpful when we submit grant applications and follow up on our activities. It's been an absolute pleasure to work with them. Australians honour Gurkha VC. As chairman of the KPV-CVBG, I had the honour to attend the funeral of Captain Rambahadur Limbu, VC-MVO, in Nepal, while Keith attended the coronation of King Giles III. Limbu, VC, was the last living Gurkha recipient of the Victoria Cross. Limbu and Keith had been friends for more than 50 years and were both members of the VC and George Cross, GC, Association in London. The first time they met was in Malaya, where Keith was serving, just after Limbu's heroic action in Borneo, which earned him the VC. The funeral was well attended by many nations, with representatives from military and government circles, with King Charles III sending his own representative. I was accompanied by Fred Campbell, OAM, Vice Chairman, KPVC-VBG, and as the only Australian representatives, it was a great honour to represent Keith, and more so Australia. "It was important to me that I and Australia were represented at his funeral," Keith said. "It was my pleasure, and with great respect, to have two very fine Australian representatives go to Nepal and see my old mate Limbu, VC, put to rest, and receive the gratitude from the Gurkha people whilst they were doing it. I have the greatest admiration for both men who represented Australia, as, unfortunately, there was no other person from Australia representing the award of the Victoria Cross at the funeral. I had previously been to Nepal to represent Keith at the 84th birthday of Limbu. This was a prestigious event, as the age of 84 is regarded as a milestone by the Nepalese, as it signifies 1,000 full moons of a person's life, which elevates the individual next to God. Limbu was well known and respected in his community. During his life, with the support of the British actor Joanna Lumley, he and the Gurkha Welfare Trust successfully lobbied the British for equal pensions and welfare support for retiring Gurkha soldiers. Limbu also set up his own trust, Honourable Captain Rumbahadur Limbu VC MVO Trust, in his own hometown of Damak. Here he established a temple and school, improved roads, and provided welfare for those less fortunate than himself. He was a man who really cared for his community. On the 30th of August 2023, Keith Payne will turn 90. A special black tie gala event has been organised at the Australian War Memorial to honour his remarkable career and to showcase the outstanding work he has done in supporting veterans with PTS. We encourage all veterans to reach out to our group for any veteran-related matters or to simply be involved in any of our activities. An accompanying photo shows KPVC VBG Chairman Rick Meehan, OAM, and Vice Chairman Fred Campbell, OAM, laying a wreath on behalf of Keith Payne, VC, and Australia. That concludes the section, ESO News. Transitioning well. New Veteran Employment Program. A new $24 million Veteran Employment Program, VEP, is set to boost veteran job opportunities and help businesses benefit from the diverse skill sets that veterans offer. With more than 6,000 veterans transitioning from the ADF every year, they can bring the fantastic skills they've gained in the ADF to the civilian workforce. Skills like leadership, teamwork, and the ability to work under pressure. The Veteran Employment Program, VEP, will support veterans find good quality jobs by boosting recognition of their skills and experience while supporting further education and training for veterans wanting to move into the civilian workforce. The VEP was launched by Minister for Veterans Affairs Matt Keogh at the Bravo Electrical and HVAC workshop in Sydney. Bravo Electrical and HVAC is a specialised electrical company and a contractor of choice for Defence Marine Engineering. As a proud Veterans Employment Commitment signatory, they recognise the tremendous value and advantages of actively hiring veterans. Their unwavering dedication is evident from their impressive 80% veteran employment rate. The VEP includes two new grants programs designed to support veterans transitioning into employment and tertiary education opportunities. The Recruitment Advisory Service for Employers of Veterans grant program will support employers to create veteran-friendly workplaces by providing support, education, and resources to attract, recruit, and retain veterans. The grant will provide $800,000 over 3 years to a single organisation. This funding will enable the organisation to provide advice, support the development of tailor-made policies and procedures for workplaces, and create a range of products to enhance veteran recruitment and retention. The Veteran Recognition of Prior Learning Tertiary Support Grant Program will provide funding in three rounds over 3 years to universities to establish or enhance recognition of prior learning frameworks to better reflect the skills and knowledge veterans gain during their service. This will mean veterans who want to pursue a university education can do so more easily. This is in addition to the Department of Defence enhancing its recognition of prior learning program to include the granting of micro-credentials for the vocational skills that veterans acquire during service. The goal is to better recognise the pre-existing capability veterans have and make it easier for them to demonstrate their existing skills, gain official qualifications, and be competitive in the labour market. In 2024, a new advertising campaign will be launched promoting the great benefits veterans can bring to the civilian workforce. For more information about the Veteran Employment Program, go to veteransemployment.gov.au. An accompanying photo shows Ministers Keogh and Thistlethwaite at Bravo Electrical and HVAC. Screen warriors skilling up for the film industry. Since becoming cast as Will Scarlet in a school production of Robin Hood at 10, Lieutenant Commander Claire Baldwin knew she wanted to be an actor. Despite joining the Navy after high school in 2005 and becoming a maritime warfare officer, she found the theatrical bug never went away, and in 2015, she transferred to the reserves to pursue an acting career. Claire was one of the first participants in a program designed to help veterans transition from defence into the film and television industry. The Screen Warriors program aims to recruit, train and assist veterans to transfer skills into a career they may not be aware they would flourish in. At the program's inaugural Introduction to Filmmaking course in March, 13 participants were given a taste of the jobs their military skills could lead to in the world of filmmaking. According to Claire, the course staff seemed a little bit spun out at how readily the participants were able to work together. "I don't think the staff had ever seen 13 strangers come together and produce something viable quite so quickly," she said. "As defence members, we are trained to work well in teams and collaborate quickly with people we've never met to get the job done, and that's exactly what we did." The program covered jobs in the technical side of the film industry, including production and unit management, location scouting, assistant directing, accounting, transport, and logistics. The participants also tried out some of these roles on one of the training film sets and prepared, rehearsed, and filmed a short scene in 90 minutes. The high-level training and experience delivered to defence personnel equips prospective candidates with the skills required in the many logistical aspects of production. For instance, are you a transport supervisor or driver? Your licences and technical experience could have you working in the screen industry almost immediately. Have you ever been a recon officer? Then you are highly suited to being a locations manager. Are you a logistician? Then you could be a unit assistant or, depending on your experience, a unit manager. Have you ever commanded and administered troops? Then you could be an assistant director. Have you ever been in an administration or operations role in a headquarters? Then you could be a production coordinator, a production manager, or a production accountant. The two-day in-person course is held four times a year in Sydney. It is free of charge and is available to serving and ex-serving ADF personnel and families. For more information on how to become a screen warrior, a screen industry employer, or to find out when the next course is starting, visit veteransfilmfestival.com/screenwarriors. Article courtesy of Department of Defence. Read the full story at dva.gov.au/vetaffairs. That concludes the section, Transitioning Well. Families. Putting families at the centre. Commissioner Gwen Cherney, Veteran Family Advocate. Facebook, Gwen Cherney, VFA. Twitter, @GM Cherney. LinkedIn, Gwen Cherney. YouTube, VFA Commissioner _GWENCHERNE. Reflecting on my 3 years as the inaugural Veteran Family Advocate Commissioner, I'm reminded that change takes focused effort and often comes about through small, iterative steps. While we still have work to do in making sure families are not add-ons or afterthoughts, I've seen a lot of change take place in how veteran families are supported. More and more families are front and centre in the development of policies, programs and services. When I was appointed, my vision was to raise the voices and perspectives of veteran families and help the government better understand their experiences and needs. I sought to integrate an understanding of families and the importance of including them in all aspects of DVA policies, services, legislation, operations and decision-making. None of this can be done without cultivating productive relationships across government and the veteran community. Families come in all shapes and sizes, so programs and services in DVA, ex-service organisations, ESOs, and in the wider veteran ecosystem should be inclusive of the wide range of veteran families, be those parents, children, step-parents, aunties, uncles, siblings, support people, mates, etc. The research shows that including families leads to better outcomes for veterans. None of us are islands. Our programs and services should take this into consideration and be flexible whilst ensuring the veteran family unit is at the centre. Below are some recent successes. Defence, Veterans and Families Acute Support Package. Eligibility has been expanded from the original package. The most recent federal budget saw eligibility expand again as of the 1st of July to include children of veterans in full-time care of their grandparents. Through the package, families who are experiencing or are at risk of experiencing crisis can access a wide range of support, from childcare and household assistance to help covering the cost of education. Family Policy Team. DVA has increased its Family Policy Team from 1.5 full-time equivalent to 8 members, which focuses exclusively on developing and enhancing policies, supports and services for veteran families. Education Schemes. We have established a streamlined and comprehensive approach to oversee education schemes tailored to meet the needs of today's families. Parents and expanded eligibility. I'm advocating for ESOs to extend their support and services to parents, including those of deceased ADF personnel. There is currently little to no support for mothers and fathers, grandparents and siblings who also need support, healing and social inclusion. Gaps. Identified gaps in services for various groups such as children, carers, parents, bereaved families and survivors of families and domestic violence. I provided policy recommendations and valuable input for new proposals to be considered by government. Eligibility improvements. As a member of the Military Rehabilitation and Compensation Commission, I helped make a change to the eligibility rules for dependents of veterans under the Military Rehabilitation and Compensation Act 2004. This change ensures eligible young people, under 25, who are intending to remain in education but are unable to study full-time because a medical practitioner has provided a diagnosis of mental illness or injury, continue to be entitled to relevant benefits, including access to a gold card. Defence and Veteran Family Wellbeing Strategy and National Action Plan. I am working with Defence, DVA and Defence Families Australia to finalise the strategy and the action plan that will sit under it. They will guide how the government provides support to veterans and families for the next 4 years. Family Employment. Veteran families are skilled, qualified and experienced in many occupations and industries, yet they still often face barriers to meaningful employment and are often underemployed. It's important to empower families by giving them the appropriate support, tools and information to enable them to thrive. Our work in this area will give us tangible recommendations on how to provide more effective employment pathways for veteran families. Data and insights. We are advocating for a Defence and Veteran Family Indicator on education enrolment forms in all states and territories in line with South Australia. A tick box that identifies both children of current and former serving families will level the playing field for children who can be disadvantaged because of their parents' service and the transient lifestyle required. In my engagements, I have begun to see the community listening to veteran families and then changing and adapting to better meet their needs. Veteran families can now participate in activities, sports, education, scholarships, retreats, camps, online courses, and more. Yet more work is needed. Veteran children, adult children, carers, dual-serving families, LGBTQAI plus families, called families, are all types of families who have unique experiences and whose needs must be better understood and addressed. I am proud of how far we have come and am energised when I look ahead to what we can achieve in the future. If you're interested in hearing more about what I'm up to, I encourage you to sign up to my regular snapshots by emailing vfa@dva.gov.au or by following my social media platforms. An accompanying photo shows Gwen Cherney with participants of the Veterans Families Policy Forum. That concludes the section, Families. Features. Artistic license. It's a familiar story. When Mark Ham was medically discharged after 25 years in the Navy, he felt, so to speak, at sea. My personality was associated with the service, he says. Raised in Newcastle, Mark joined the Navy soon after quitting a maths degree. He joined the Navy band as a trombonist, then studied at the Conservatorium of Music in Sydney before leaving the Navy to become a professional musician. But work began to dry up when the global financial crisis hit, so Mark re-enlisted. The next 12 years were fruitful. Mark rose to the rank of warrant officer. On the way, he became the senior non-commissioned officer in charge of the band, went to sea several times, and deployed to Afghanistan, Iraq, and elsewhere. He enjoyed some moments of great pleasure and professional pride, including playing for orphans in Cambodia. He also served as a mentor in the ADF's Arts for Recovery, Resilience, Teamwork and Skills, ARRTS or ARTS, program. The four-week residential program is held twice a year, in May and November, at the University of Canberra. It is available to ADF personnel and a small number of veterans who have transitioned in the previous 3 years. The program is for those who are experiencing service-related health and well-being issues. No previous experience in the arts is required, and most costs are covered by the program. The ADF Arts program offers three streams: music and rhythm, creative writing, and visual arts. Mark mentored in the music stream for several years and found it very rewarding. Some of the work that comes out of it is incredible, he says. It often left me open-mouthed. I remember one guy who came in. The program is voluntary, but this bloke really looked like he didn't want to be there. He was being medically discharged for PTSD, and he looked like he wanted to kill us. But as soon as we struck up the first chord, his whole face changed. That's the power of music. It evokes such strong emotions. The purpose of the program is to build confidence and resilience in those who are in need of a reset. It's an inclusive and supportive environment, without rank and uniform, so each individual can feel comfortable expressing themselves, says Brigadier Wayne Goodman, head of ARTS. Exposure to new experiences and sharing stories, fears and concerns with like-minded peers assists with reintegration into families, the community, and the workforce. Many participants report that one of the main outcomes they get from this program is that they have a renewed sense of purpose and self-worth. Mark found the ARTS program very useful when it was his turn to transition. He left the Navy for a second time in early 2022 because of mental health issues and joined as a participant rather than a mentor. He chose the program's creative writing stream and has been writing ever since, even completing a novel, a thriller called Careful What You Wish For. He is now looking for a publisher, though he's keen to point out that for him it's all about the process, not the outcome. The great thing about writing is that it gives you a routine, he says. And in writing, I found something that was totally different. Something that would be a challenge, but not too much of a challenge, and which provides a bit of escapism. Mark is one of the program's success stories, says Professor Anthony Eaton, who is a mentor in the creative writing stream and an academic at the University of Canberra. He's kept writing, and that's exactly the outcome we're after. He's used writing to put himself together, to move into new worlds. Anthony has been an ARTS mentor since the program was established in 2015. Mentors are practicing artists, says Anthony, who's a published author of children's and young adult books. So that's a big point of difference. We're not a therapy program. It's a creative practice, but it seems to have therapeutic outcomes for a lot of participants. And the interesting thing is we see benefits 5-6 years on. Many come in feeling fairly cynical. They have preconceptions about the arts and creativity that don't match with reality. It's a chance to put on another identity, and it gives them a safe place to think of themselves and their ADF identity, or for those dealing with trauma. Anthony adds the participants quickly become a tight-knit group and often keep in touch afterwards, with one another and with him. It's an amazing program and has made a lot of difference to people over the years. It's a pleasure to be involved in and is one of the best things I've done in my years as a writer. Another beneficiary of the ARTS program is Boyd McMahon. Like Mark, Boyd is in his mid-50s and was medically discharged in 2022. He had served 33 years in the RAAF and now lives in Townsville with his wife, also an Air Force veteran, and two adult daughters, He chose the music stream. After being out of the military a year, I was nervous about attending the program and being subjected to a schedule again, says Boyd. I wasn't sure how I was going to go with that aspect of it, but it's a schedule full of fun activities, so I found it quite enjoyable. I've met some great people on the program. It's interesting hearing everyone's different stories, hearing about the diverse backgrounds and having the opportunity to come together as a group through a shared activity has been quite good. The skills of the music mentors are amazing. They're all very giving and talented. One outcome from this is that as a family we can do music together. I've been able to connect more with my family after always being apart from them with work and rebuilding our relationships through music. Each program culminates in an evening showcase event where arts participants display their painting and sculptures, perform their music, or read out their writing. I played guitar for two songs and sang one song in a duet with some solo bits, even though I've never sung before, Boyd adds. My whole family watched the event via live stream from Townsville and were very impressed. I can definitely see how this program will value add into ongoing life. I would recommend the arts program to anyone needing a bit of time out or a reset in life. Since it was founded in 2015, 332 people have completed the arts program. The next program will be held on the 29th of October to the 24th of November 2023. The application period is open 3rd of July to the 25th of September. For further information, visit defence.gov.au/ARRTS. Accompanying photos show Mark playing aboard HMAS Adelaide in the Philippines for a touring school group in 2017. Mark at home, working on his next novel with a collection of musical instruments from around the world adorning the grand piano. Arts participant Boyd McMahon at the showcase event in June 2023 at the Inspire Centre in Canberra. And arts participant Boyd McMahon. Operation Grain Harvest Assist. ADF skills are well suited to a career in agriculture, writes Lieutenant Colonel Gary Spencer, AM, retired. COVID was a tough time for many Australians, including our hard-working grain growers. In late 2021, with a bumper harvest looking likely due to the La Niña weather pattern, farmers were hopeful of a good harvest yield, ideally making up for several suboptimal previous years. However, due to COVID and the toughening of border entry standards into the nation, the usual supply of backpacker labour was just not going to arrive. I got in touch with some of the people who had appeared in a landline episode. Speaking to them helped define the problem, the locations in need, and the good idea started to take more shape. The contention being that former tank drivers with the requisite training could become competent harvester operators. And so, Operation Grain Harvest Assist, OPGHA, was born. With enthusiastic assistance from Grain Producers Australia, who advised Landline, a website was established and two Facebook pages were linked to it, which now have over 2,000 supporters. Now that OPGHA was ready to launch, where better to do that than on Landline, where the whole idea started? We estimate that 250 to 300 veterans answered the call to assist the grain growers of the nation. This included a retired Major General who 4 years previously commanded 15,000 troops as the commander of the 1st Division. With his mate from Sydney, a retired colonel, they not only supported a grain grower, but produced a number of YouTube videos on their adventures. OPGHA is a volunteer-run organisation, but the veterans who do the actual harvesting are paid for their work. In September 2022, we conducted a training course on grain headers for 18 veterans in Horsham. The course was principally sponsored by Case IH Australia, supported by O'Connor's, their biggest distributor there. O'Connor's provided its chief instructor and executive sales manager for the duration of the 4-day course, as well as two new grain headers. Channel 9's A Current Affair program attended the training course, producing a very helpful segment about OPGHA. To see the video and article, visit the Channel 9 website. Search for A Current Affair Grain Harvest. almost all participants deployed across the nation, from the Queensland border down to the Mallee-Wimmera region, to assist the grain harvest. In March 2023, at the request of Cotton Australia, we conducted a four-day training course in Moree in north-central New South Wales on cotton pickers and strippers. 10 veterans took part. The training was conducted by a Moree contract harvesting company called BMC, which also provided machines for the course. A number of the veterans who trained on the course deployed to assist the cotton harvest, principally in northern New South Wales. As part of the course, we visited the cotton ginning facility in Moree. The firm is called Northwest Ginning, and they're keen to hear from veterans. After the course, a team from Channel 9 visited some of these veterans, and the news story was syndicated nationally. Cotton Australia has told me that it would like us to conduct another training course for veterans in the first quarter of 2024 in southwest Queensland. We will very shortly be requesting expressions of interest via our Facebook pages. We are also fielding inquiries from the sugarcane industry up and down the North Queensland coast. We are in the process of leveraging our now proven successful training program and looking at methods of developing and recognising the experience of veterans in harvest work so that their pay reflects the expertise that they have. Great relationships have been developed with the leaders of these industries, with growers, dealers, and equipment suppliers, as well as local communities. The warmth and sincerity of their welcome to our veterans has been wonderful to see and experience. This aspect has been the most satisfying of the program, as has the opportunity to work yet again with an outstanding group of our ADF veterans. The success of the program to date hinges on the quality of our veterans. Without exception, they have impressed both their trainers and those who have worked with them. We owe particular thanks to so many people from so many parts of our nation's vital agricultural industry, from growers to processors to equipment dealers and product handlers to equipment repairers and other suppliers, as well as to the local communities. We now have many contacts across the nation who would all be delighted to welcome a veteran onto their team. To all veterans, when you are considering leaving the ADF, I suggest that you consider a career in agriculture, where so many things are similar to your ADF service, including working in the great outdoors, on advanced equipment, with well-led teams, all working towards achieving challenging objectives and in country areas where you are respected and appreciated. We have contacts with tertiary institutions where you can gain formal qualifications in farm management or related areas by flexible delivery, enabling you to start preparing before you transition out. One way to see if agriculture is what you want to do in the future is to attend one of our industry-funded training courses, then complete a harvest with one of our family farms, often working with another veteran who has been there and done it before. For further information, Gary Spencer, admin@opgha.org.au, phone 0418 996 856, website opgha.org.au. For the full version of this article, go to dva.gov.au/vetaffairs/grain. An accompanying photo shows the graduating class from the Horsham training session. That concludes the section, Features. Bookshelf. The following books, often self-published, have been written by, for and with veterans. Their authors and others have asked that we bring them to readers' attention. If you have a book for a subsequent edition, please email vetaffairs@dva.gov.au, noting that we may not have room to include it in the print edition, but will include it in the online version. Please provide the following: title, name of author, blurb, short description that we reserve the right to edit, publisher, if any, price, how to buy it, and image of the front cover. Please note that the following are not reviews or promotions of the books. DVA takes no responsibility for the accuracy of their content or the opinions expressed in them. Mentioned in Dispatches by Dave Sabin, MG. This book is a highly illustrated day-by-day account of an Australian infantry platoon's 12-month tour in the first year of the task force at Nui Dat, Vietnam. A coffee table, quality A4 art paper book with 30-plus maps, 500-plus images, and 250-plus Australian War Memorial images. Visit the website sabbenmidbook.com to see sample pages, read the foreword, preface, contents, index, and more, and to order your book or books. Pages, 420-plus, cost $82 plus postage. To buy, via sabbenmidbook.com. Signed to buyer by author. Tom's Law, A Life Fit for Living, by Tom Law, OAM. An autobiographical snapshot of a boy who grew up to be a qualified electrician and then went on to have a colourful and varied life. Stories of fun that was had, some sadness, plenty of adventures, wonderful family and a lot of luck to have made it to 67 years age. After 21 years in the Australian Army and having been awarded an Order of Australia Medal for his services to training, Tom went back to civilian life. For the past 20 years, he has continued to learn about and work in the field of health, wellness and personal training. Today, he works in his own fitness business, Tom's Law. Pages 234. Cost $25 plus postage. To buy, Amazon or tomslaw at hotmail.com. Half a Mile in 30 Years, From Duntroon to Russell, by Peter Evans. Peter writes, "This book is not intended as a rigorous history, but the tale of a simple soldier and a very proud member of the Royal Australian Corps of Signals. My career spanned much of the Cold War, extensive social and political change, and almost unbelievable technological advancement, so this story may be of some interest to more than just my immediate family." Pages 131. Cost from $10. To buy, available as an e-book only through Echo Books and Amazon. We Who Are Left to Grow Old, Stories to Mark a Centenary of Legacy, by the Legacy Club of Brisbane. This book is a collection of stories from Legacy's Brisbane War Widows. Legacy supports thousands of widows who lost their loved ones and have been affected by their partner's service in the Second World War, the Korean War, Malayan Emergency and Vietnam War. Many of these ladies came to Legacy as young widows, still raising their children and struggling with their grief. To celebrate Legacy's centenary in 2023, the Legacy Club of Brisbane wanted to capture these stories of resilience and achievement before they were lost. Cost, free plus $15 postage. To buy, online via storiesofremembrance.org.au or contact Legacy Brisbane 07-3029-5600 or email communications@legacybrisbane.org.au. The Mystery of AE-1, Australia's Lost Submarine and Crew, by Catherine Sperling. In 1914, Australia's first submarine, AE-1, went on patrol from Rabaul Harbour in search of German shipping and was never seen again. The loss of AE-1, with her entire complement of three officers and 32 sailors, was the RAN's first major tragedy, which marred an otherwise successful operation to seize the German colonies in New Guinea and the South Pacific. In December 2017, a new search, using the vessel Fugro Equator, located the wreck of AE-1 in 300 metres of water off the Duke of York Island group. Pages 200, cost $15 plus $10 postage. To buy, KSPURLING, the numerals 48, at gmail.com. Like Shadows in the Corner, The Forgotten Wives of Australian Vietnam Veterans, by Helen Townsend Austin. This book contains a wonderful shared pool of memories from the wives of Australian Vietnam veterans. How privileged we are to be invited into their precious moments, the terrible losses, the good and the sad. These memories are historical and etched in their minds forever. We now know how it was for wives waiting at home. The writers of the stories you will read now have an average age of 70 plus years. For all this time, wives have carried these memories in their hearts and minds. They now share their memories with us, giving an incredible window into their lives by inviting us to be part of their history. Pages 218, cost $20, including postage. To buy, HELHILT at bigpond.com. Porky's People, by Carl Metcalf. This book is an illustrated history of the 7th Battalion, the Royal Australian Regiment, 7RAR, during its first tour in South Vietnam in 1967-68. The book primarily uses images to tell this story, whether they be photographs, artwork, maps, or newspaper cuttings. The book covers the period from the raising of the battalion through to the time it returned to Australia and the immediate aftermath. Pages 765, cost $200, including pack and post. To buy, Tony Keach at porky_seven@bigpond.com or 0418-624-211. Survivor, Life in the SAS, by Mark Wales. Over four deployments of intense warfighting in Afghanistan, Mark Wales watched the line between right and wrong become blurred. When he left the SAS, he was adrift, crippled by guilt. Told with gripping suspense, humour, and touching warmth, Survivor is Mark's extraordinary life in and out of the SAS, a story of resilience and a testament to the power of transformation. Pages 368, cost $26.94, to buy, Amazon. The Promise, by Rob Redenbach. From the trenches of the First World War to special forces operations in Afghanistan's Chora Valley, The Promise explores the limits of courage and the legacy of sacrifice. Written by ADF veteran Rob Redenbach and illustrated by Ben Pronk, DSC, all profits from The Promise are donated to Cor Infinitus, a veteran-led charity that provides dignity and respect to the families of those who have served Australia and have taken their own life. The Promise is such an important story. Beautifully written, it brings history to life. Melissa Doyle, AM, author of 15 Seconds of Brave. Pages 96. Cost $14.95 plus postage. To buy, corinfinitus.org/shop. Australian Tri-Service Contingents, Somalia, 1992-1994, by Gary Conquest. This book encompasses 212 members of groups of four tri-service contingents as part of the Australian Service Contingents UN operation in Somalia, ASC UNOSOM, Operation Iguana, from 1992 to 1994. The task of ASC UNOSOM was to ensure the movement control of food, water and people by road, sea and air so that it reached the Somali people during a ravaging famine in the country. The Mogadishu International Airport was under the complete control of RAAF air traffic controllers from 1993 to 1994. Individual stories tell the tale of their deployment in a country that the whole world was watching and helping during the years of famine. Pages 288, softcover book in landscape orientation, cost $70 plus $13.50 parcel post with $100 insurance and a tracking number. To buy, Gary Conquest at admin@veteransofsomalia.au. Dreadful Lady Over the Mekong Delta, RAAF Canberras in the Vietnam War, by Wing Commander Bob Howe, retired. This book looks at the men of No. 2 Squadron and the operations they flew in the Vietnam War in their Canberra bombers. From April 1967, the squad spent 4 years attacking enemy targets, many of them in the Mekong Delta region, and contending with the politics, weather, and fog of war. Bob Howe arrived in Vietnam in 1969 as a youthful Canberra navigator and bomb aimer, but much of his time was spent as a specialist in bombing operations. The book describes how crews overcame the difficulties of operating in an intense Asian war in an aircraft that was designed for a completely different environment. Pages 268. Cost $19.99. To buy, Simon & Schuster, Booktopia, Google Books, Angus & Robertson. Lost and Found, by Michael Tyquin. This book is a story about the experiences of a traumatized Afghanistan Army veteran, Greg, and an unexpected mentor he found in an older man, Frank, a recently widowed former officer. Between them, they come to grips with their own personal demons and together emerge, if not scarred, then at peace with themselves and the world. The novel shows their developing, sometimes stormy, relationship over 12 months. Through helping the other to understand their trauma and grief, Greg is restored and able to deal with his nightmares, while Frank has found a new friend and meaning in life. Pages 84, cost $4.99, ebook, $12.99, soft cover. To buy, Ex Libris. Broken Lives, A War That Shattered Soldiers and a Whole Society, by Kenneth N. Price. Go into the trenches with the Australian troops of the 9th Battalion. Follow the exploits of Lieutenant Peter Bowen and Sergeant Craig Williams during the major battles of 1917 and 1918. Then go to the streets of Paris and London and observe the impact that the Great War had on the civilian population of these great cities. Follow Sister Anne Copley as she works selflessly to nurse the casualties of war. Observe some of the changes that took place at this time regarding the relationships between men and women as they struggled to make sense of the upheaval to their society which was happening all around them. Pages 192. Cost $24.95. To buy, Booktopia, Ankerson Robertson, Google Books, Amazon. The Tiger Has Many Lives. The Story of Rod Wells, POW Survivor, by Pamela Wells. Rod Wells grew up on a dairy farm at Durrangyle, and from early childhood keenly experimented with and explored many avenues of science. In 1939, Rod enlisted for war service and was sent to Malaya as a young lieutenant in 8th Division Signals. After the fall of Singapore, he was sent as a POW to Sandakan, North Borneo, and later arrested by the notorious Kempe Tai for building a clandestine radio receiver. After many months of severe torture, interrogation, and deprivation, Rod narrowly escaped execution and spent the last months of the war at Outram Road Jail, a place which very few prisoners survived. When Rod returned to civilian life, he was determined to put his POW experience behind him. Pages 304, cost $35 plus postage. To buy, 7penspublishing.com. Call Sign Vampire, The Inside Story of an Australian Field Hospital During the Vietnam War, by Rod Searle, Denise Bell, Paul Danaher, and Gregory Anderson. The first Australian field hospital played a vital part in Australia's war in Vietnam. Call Sign Vampire sets out and achieves a comprehensive investigation of the workings of a field hospital. Personal memories from those who served and who were patients combined to create a very evocative book that are complemented by hundreds of images. This lavishly illustrated and beautifully produced book is a deserving commemoration of those who served in Vietnam. Call Sign Vampire is highly recommended, and the authors deserve congratulations. Justin Chadwick in Sabretooth, Journal of the Military Historical Society of Australia, June 2022. Published and distributed by First Australian Field Hospital Association. Pages 280, hardback, with slipcase. Cost $149.99. Includes local postage for Vet Affairs readers. To buy, email paul at book at callsignvampire.com.au. One Man's Road to Toll Plantation, The Life and Death of Private Hector Kay, by Ross K. Hall. The massacre of more than 150 unarmed Australian soldiers on the Pacific island of New Britain, Papua New Guinea, in 1942, forms the central rupture in this story of one soldier, Private Hector Kay, who died there. Through detailed research of family correspondence, photographs, and other documentary evidence, Private Kay's nephew, Ross Hall, recounts the events preceding the attack. From Kay making his noble and ethical decision to join up amid the clouds of war, to the soldiers' journeys north and their adjustment to camp life in Rabaul, Hall's history brings the eventual tragedy into shocking relief by giving focus to the life and death of one thoroughly decent man. Pages 120, cost $25, including postage Australia-wide. To buy, rosskayhall.wordpress.com/ or email the author at ross.h@lizzy.net.au. That concludes the section Bookshelf. Commemorations. Remembering the sinking of AHS Centaur. In May 1943, the attack on AHS Centaur by a Japanese submarine made it one of the most remembered hospital ships of the Second World War. To ensure Centaur was easily identifiable as a hospital ship, she was painted white with a green band, interrupted by large red crosses running around the hull. At night, the vessel was brightly illuminated by powerful spotlights. In addition to this, a large number 47 was painted on the bow. This was Centaur's registration number with the International Red Cross, and indicated that the enemy had been notified through diplomatic channels of her status as a hospital ship. However, at 4:10 a.m. on Friday the 14th of May, Centaur was travelling east of Moreton Island, off the coast of Queensland, when she was rocked by a great explosion and sank within minutes of the attack. The sinking was so quick, no SOS message was able to be sent. Of the over 300 people on board, only 64 survived. They spent up to 35 hours on makeshift rafts and debris before being rescued by the United States destroyer USS Mugford. Sister Ellen Savage was the only one of 12 nursing sisters on board to survive. She suffered severe injuries as a result of the explosion and immersion in the sea. Sister Savage concealed her own injuries and treated the wounded. She also kept up morale, with a focus on keeping spirits high for the survivors, and later received the George Medal for her bravery. 80 years on, we remember the victims and survivors of the Centaur. To find more information on this tragic event, visit our ANZAC portal, anzacportal.dva.gov.au/resources/sinking-centaur. Accompanying photographs show the Centaur in Sydney, 1943, and a Second World War poster by Bob Whitmore. 70 years on from the Korean War. On the 27th of July, Korean Veterans Day, we paid tribute to the service of Australians who fought in the Korean War and marked 70 years since the armistice was signed to effectively end the conflict. The Korean War began on the 25th of June 1950 when North Korea, People's Democratic Republic of Korea, launched an invasion of South Korea, Republic of Korea, in an attempt to unify the country under its communist government. To aid the South, the Australian government sent personnel, along with the 21 member states of the United Nations. It was the first conflict for the newly formed Australian Regular Army. Minister for Veterans Affairs Matt Keogh attended commemorative events in the Republic of Korea, meeting with several Australian veterans and their families. "I was honoured to represent Australia in South Korea to pay tribute to those who lost their lives, to those whose scars remain some 70 years later, and to acknowledge all those still missing in action," Minister Keogh said. "They will not be forgotten." For many Australians who served in the rugged hills and shell-shattered cities, who saw the impact on the people of South Korea, the memory of this war remained imprinted on their mind. And for those who never came home, their absence left a void in the lives of their loved ones, a constant reminder of the heavy cost of war. In the days before the armistice, Australian troops were heavily involved in the Battle of Samichon River, the last battle fought in the Korean War. Also known as the Battle of the Hook, the intense action saw 2nd Battalion, Royal Australian Regiment, 2RAR, and 3rd Battalion, 7th United States Marine Regiment, bear the brunt of successive Chinese attacks. The Chinese did not succeed in penetrating the Australian trenches. On the morning of the 26th of July, they abandoned the attack with between 2,000 to 3,000 dead in front of the Australian and American line. It is estimated that as many as 10,000 were wounded. At 10 a.m. on the 27th of July, the formal armistice was signed at Panmunjom, which took effect at 10 p.m. that night. The date is formally commemorated in Australia as Korean Veterans Day. Australian soldiers, sailors and aviators fought alongside their South Korean allies, so it is also a day when we reaffirm the bonds of friendship that exist between our two nations. About 18,000 Australian military personnel served during the Korean War, including the Air Force, Navy and Army. More than 350 Australians lost their lives during the war and in the post-armistice period. More than 1,200 were wounded and 30 taken prisoner. After 3 years of fighting, Australians remained for another 4 years to help maintain a fragile truce. 70 years on, we affirm that Korea has never been the forgotten war, and we remember the sacrifices of the Australian men and women who served. An accompanying photo shows Minister Matt Keogh with Korean War veteran Ernie Holden at the 70th anniversary commemorations. 50th anniversary, Vietnam. Australia honours Vietnam veterans. Throughout 2023, Australians are recognising the contribution of our Vietnam veterans, their service in Vietnam, the sacrifice of their families, and their role as integral members of the community in the decades since the war. On the 18th of August, a year of recognition culminated in a solemn and dignified commemorative service at the Australian Vietnam Forces National Memorial in Canberra. Broadcast live by the ABC, the service included a commemorative address by the Minister for Veterans Affairs and Defence Personnel, Matt Keogh, who expressed heartfelt gratitude for the service our Vietnam veterans gave in Australia's name. Minister Matt Keogh said, "You were given an impossible job, and you did it well. And you looked out for your mates every step of the way. 50 years from now, generations yet unborn will see those names enshrined on our national memorial, and they will know your story." VIPs, including the Governor-General, ministers, senior ADF representatives, diplomats, and most importantly, hundreds of Vietnam veterans, came together to reflect on Australia's longest 20th century conflict. Among them was His Excellency General the Honourable David Hurley, AC, DSC, retired, who told Vietnam veterans they are part of the ANZAC legacy, and their fallen mates will never be forgotten. The Governor-General said, "I want this to be clear. Your nation is proud of you, grateful for what you did when your country called on you, and will always remember that sacrifice." The Vietnam War was at times contentious at home, and for some veterans, their return home raised mixed emotions. The recognition afforded some soldiers, sailors, and airmen upon their return varied greatly in the immediate aftermath of the war, and for some, that lack of recognition would make for a bitter welcome home. It is estimated that there are about 35,000 surviving Vietnam War veterans in Australia. While that number inevitably dwindles with the passing of time, the nation's determination to remember and honour them remains resolute. Reflecting on the respect and pride emanating from the throng gathered on Canberra's ANZAC Parade, Max Ball, National President of the Vietnam Veterans Association of Australia, said many veterans continue to remember the hardships they faced and that for some, their fight continues. He said, "Vietnam veterans can and should look back on that era with some misgivings, but with a maturing sense of pride that they endured in a difficult and testing field of combat. For our friends and colleagues who did not return, we say again, lest we forget." Amidst the hardship and constant threat of harm, there were fond memories of mateship on the front line and enduring friendships back at home. For many veterans, the war encompassed some of the best years of their lives. Noel McLaughlin, proud Vietnam veteran and chairman of the Royal Australian Armoured Corps Corporation, spoke of a generation who served in a war that defined an era. He said, "We were not treated well when we came home. We felt abandoned by Australia. It's a wonderful thing to see this acknowledgement and appreciation of our service and of our sacrifice in remembrance of those mates whom we loved and lost on active service." Among a number of initiatives this year, the Australian government has produced a 50th anniversary commemorative medallion and certificate of recognition honouring the service of Australians who served in the Vietnam War. More than 22,000 of the medallions have already been distributed. The medallion and certificate continues to be available to all Australian men and women who served in Vietnam, and to the family of veterans who have since passed away or were tragically killed during the war. To apply, please visit dva.gov.au/Vietnam50. Significant commemorations. In recent months, we paused on special commemorative days to remember the service and sacrifice of Australian and Allied service personnel in the following conflicts. Battle of the Atlantic. On the 1st of May each year, we pause to remember the Battle of the Atlantic, the longest military campaign of the Second World War. The day recognises the almost six-year battle to control the Atlantic shipping lanes, costing the lives of more than 72,000 Allied naval and merchant mariners. Battle of the Coral Sea. On the 4th of May 1942, Australian and United States naval forces entered into a four-day battle against Imperial Japan in what would become known as the Battle of the Coral Sea. More than 500 US personnel perished in the battle, over 60 aircraft were shot down, and one carrier, the USS Lexington, was lost. Though the Allies suffered more ship losses, their efforts prevented the Japanese from achieving their objective of capturing Port Moresby in an amphibious operation. Victory in Europe Day. VE Day is commemorated on the 8th of May every year to mark the end of the Second World War in Europe. 78 years ago, the German High Command surrendered unconditionally, ending more than 5.5 years of conflict. Over 10,000 Australians lost their lives in the European and Mediterranean theatres of war against Germany and Italy. More than 10,000 were wounded, and some 8,000 became prisoners of war. 105th Anniversary of the Battle of Hamel. On the 4th of July 1918, Australian General Sir John Monash led a combined arms assault with infantry, artillery, tanks and aircraft on the village of Le Hamel, France. In just 93 minutes, the Allies overwhelmed the German forces and captured the village, advancing 2 kilometres along a 6-kilometre front. The 15th Australian Infantry Brigade launched a successful diversionary attack at the same time on the German front line east of Vieux-sur-Ancre. 105 years ago, Australians and Americans fought side by side on a battlefield for the first time. 1,062 Australians and 176 US soldiers made the ultimate sacrifice at Le Hamel, while another 142 Australians were killed at Vieux-sur-Ancre. Victory in the Pacific Day. On the 15th of August each year, Australians commemorate VP Day, the day on which the Second World War ended following the unconditional surrender of Japan 78 years ago. Almost 1 million Australians served their nation during the Second World War, around 40,000 lost their lives, and many suffered wounds and injuries. Malaya and Borneo Veterans Day. Commemorated on the 31st of August, this national day recognises the service and sacrifice of all Australians who served in the Malayan Emergency and Indonesian confrontation. 39 Australians lost their lives while serving in the Malayan Emergency, 1948 to 1960, and 23 perished in the Indonesian confrontation, 1962 to 1966. Merchant Navy Day. This designated National Day of Remembrance, marked on the 3rd of September, recognises the critical contributions of merchant sailors in wartime. Merchant ships and their civilian crews were responsible for transporting service personnel, supplies and equipment. Some were also converted into hospital ships for wartime service. Thousands of Australian merchant mariners served in conflicts up until the Vietnam War, and many hundreds died serving the Allied cause during the two world wars. Battle for Australia Day. Marked on the first Wednesday of September, this official annual day of commemoration recognises the period during the Second World War when Australia came under direct attack, the series of battles in the region that helped in our defence. On this day, we recognise all those who fought in the Pacific Theatre during the war, and especially those who were involved in defending our nation. Accompanying photos show Anzac Day at Gallipoli, flags of Allied nations flying above the Australian Corps Memorial at Le Hamel, and soldiers of the 3rd Battalion, Royal Australian Regiment, Borneo, 1965. The Pivotal Battle of the Bismarck Sea. The Battle of the Bismarck Sea was a major victory for the Allies in the Pacific and one of the most successful operations for the RAAF during the Second World War. In early 1943, Allied intelligence learned of a large Japanese convoy which would transport nearly 7,000 troops from Rabaul to reinforce its base in Lai, on the northeast coast of New Guinea. 8 Japanese destroyers and 8 troop transports were escorted by approximately 100 fighter aircraft when they left Rabaul on the 28th of February 1943. RAAF and United States Army Air Force bomber squadrons in Papua began training together to attack the ships at sea, to prevent the Japanese troops from landing. Once tropical storms had cleared and the convoy was spotted, the Allied force attacked in successive relays over the next 3 days, using a range of aircraft, including Beauforts, B-17 Flying Fortresses, A-20 Bostons, and Catalina flying boats. RAAF bow fighters inflicted damage with low-level strafing runs, while US B-17s and B-25s dropped bombs from higher altitudes. One tactic was low-altitude skip bombing, which involved causing the bomb to skip along the water's surface, detonating when its tip hit a ship's hull. By daybreak on the 4th of March, all 8 Japanese transports had been sunk, and 4 of their escorting destroyers had also been lost. The other 4 were badly damaged, and around 50 to 60 escorting Zero fighters had also been shot down. While the Allied losses were smaller, 13 US Air Force and RAAF crew were killed, and a further 8 were wounded. The Battle of the Bismarck Sea is remembered as one of the pivotal battles in the Southwest Pacific. 80 years on, we remember the sacrifice and bravery of all those who served in this battle and in the Second World War. An accompanying photo shows Allied air forces attacking Japanese ships. 80th anniversary of the Dambusters raid. On the 16th of May, we marked the 80th anniversary of Operation Chastise, popularly known as the Dambusters raid. A bouncing bomb, devised by British aircraft designer Barnes Wallace, consisted of a depth charge which could bounce along the surface water of a dam before sinking against the wall and exploding. In order for the bouncing bombs to be successful, they needed to be dropped at a height of 18 metres and a speed of 370 kilometres per hour. This required a great deal of skill and incredible bravery. In March 1943, Wing Commander Guy Gibson formed Squadron 617 to carry out Operation Chastise, one of the best-known aerial operations of the Second World War. The squadron was made up of veteran and new airmen from Britain, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and the United States. On the 16th of May 1943, 19 Lancaster bombers and 133 airmen, including 13 Australians, set off in 3 waves to bomb 4 dams in Germany's industrial heartland, the Ruhr Valley. The Mon and Eder dams were struck and eventually collapsed during the attack. Sorp Dam was hit 3 times but not breached, and Bever Dam sustained very minor damage. Only 11 of the bombers and 77 aircrew of Squadron 617 returned to base. Even with such heavy losses, the operation was considered a success, with the survivors hailed as heroes in the Allied press. The 13 Australians who took part in the Dambusters raid included Harold Mick Martin, who was considered one of the finest bomber pilots of the Second World War and knighted for his wartime service. 2 Australians died during the attack, another was captured and would remain a prisoner of war in a German prison camp until the end of the war. We pay tribute to the Australian and Allied airmen who took part in the daring Dambusters raid, and especially to those who did not return. An accompanying photograph shows an Australian Lancaster bomber crew. Preserving our stories from the Western Front. The memories of Australian diggers on the Western Front will continue to be preserved with an $8.3 million technology upgrade at the Sir John Monash Centre in France. Set on the grounds of the Villers-Bretonneux Military Cemetery in France, and adjacent to the Australian National Memorial, the centre tells the story of Australia's First World War soldiers in their own words. It plays an important role in the ongoing commemoration of the more than 295,000 Australians who served on the Western Front. The Sir John Monash Centre uses interactive, multimedia technology to provide visitors with an immersive experience that allows them to understand the story of Australians on the Western Front. The 2023-24 budget provides the funding over 6 years to enable important upgrades and maintenance works. The works will include replacement of ageing technical equipment while maintaining the delivery of a highly interactive experience that will continue to offer insight into the Australian wartime experience. The 6-year funding measure ensures the Sir John Monash Centre will continue to provide a state-of-the-art interpretive experience for visitors from around the world. Some 46,000 Australians lost their lives in Belgium and France during the First World War, and this commitment will ensure their legacy and stories of their sacrifice live on. To learn more about the Sir John Monash Centre, visit sjmc.gov.au. That concludes the section, Commemorations. Australian War Memorial. Dambusters model revealed. The Australian War Memorial, AWM, has unveiled a key piece from one of the most famous air raids of the Second World War. Operation Chastise, better known as the Dambusters Raid. Find out more about the Dambusters Raid in the preceding article. Ahead of the 80th anniversary of the raid on the 16th of May 2023, the memorial previewed an original SORP dam model used to prepare for the raids, which will feature in the redeveloped galleries in the new Anzac Hall. The 3D models were used by pilots and aircrew in preparing for the operation. The memorial has models for all three of the main targets, the Eyre, SORP and Mourne dams. The models are 3D dioramas used by the pilots and aircrew to familiarise themselves with the targets ahead of the operation. The model of the Mourne Dam is currently on display in the memorial's Second World War galleries. For Australians, Bomber Command was statistically one of the most dangerous places to serve during the Second World War. From the 10,000 Australians who served in Bomber Command, the names of the more than 4,100 who died are listed on the memorial's roll of honour. The original SORP Dam model will be displayed in the new Anzac Hall alongside the memorial's Avro Lancaster, G for George, and a German commemorative copper plaque from the North Tower of the Mourne Dam. The Anzac Hall will provide an additional 4,000 square metres of gallery space underneath a roof inspired by the Australian Rising Sun badge, and is due to be completed in late 2025. You can read the full version of this article in the digital version of Vet Affairs. Items for sale. The Red Poppies Collection by Ashdean. New designs available now at the Australian War Memorial Shop. In commemoration of the Australian experience of war, Ashdean have released their latest range of homewares, the Red Poppies Collection. Made for the Australian War Memorial, the range features a fresh poppy design created by Australia's leading botanical artist, Jenny Phillips, who perfectly captures the reverence of the Flanders poppy. Mug, tall can style, $16.99. Mug, wide flare style, $17.99. Cup and saucer, $34.99. Teapot with infuser, $89.99. Sandwich tray, melamine, $17.99. Tea towels, pack of two, $29.99. Coasters, set of six, $19.99. Visit shop.awm.gov.au to explore the complete collection. Buy online or call the Memorial Shop team on 02-6243-4555 to place an order. That concludes the section, Australian War Memorial. Notice board. Reunions. Ex-RAAF Surface Finisher Reunion. 15th to the 17th of September 2023, CSI, Ipswich, Queensland. A reunion for ex-RAAF surface finishers and their partners. Activities include welcomes, Friday social, lawn bowls, official event and farewell breakfast. Contact Greg Jacko Lyons or Garth Steinhardt. Phone 0413 700298 or 0487 195 418. Email gregjackolyons@gmail.com. 102 Field Workshop SVN, RAEME. 29th of September to the 1st of October 2023. Avondale, 601 Braes Road, Gannawarra, Victoria. Members and their partners are invited to attend the biannual reunion on my property. Ample free camping available with basic shower and toilet facilities and limited access to power. Numbers attending are required for catering purposes. Contact Noel Lunda Lake, OAM. Phone 03-5456-9246. Email koonda@activ8.net.au. RAN Writers Association Reunion. 13th to the 15th of October 2023, Sydney, New South Wales. For more details, please email or visit the website. Contact RAN Writers Association. Email scribes@ranwriters.com. Website, ranwriters.com. Ex-naval stores / MLSC members of all ranks. 20th to the 21st of October 2023, Coffs Harbour, New South Wales. Inquiries from other branches more than welcome. Contact Alan Katie Ellis, phone 0407 436 498, email temporaryloan@gmail.com. 8th 9th RAR Association. 27th of October 2023, Samford, Brisbane, Queensland. 50th reunion of Raising the Battalion linking 31st of October 1973. Meet and greet, ATM, all companies function, battalion visit, birthday service and luncheon. All welcome. Remember Vietnam to Afghanistan and Iran. Contact Gregory Decker. Phone 0417 464 251. Email pointstar@bigpond.com. Website, the numerals 89rar.com/welcome. Facebook, facebook.com/89rarassn. 21st Construction Squadron RAE, 10th to the 12th of November 2023, Royal Hotel, Derms, Seymour, Victoria. Reunion for all serving and ex-serving members and their partners. If accommodation is required, please book early. There will be a meet and greet on the 10th, Remembrance Day service on the 11th, and a barbecue on the 12th. Contact Bill Thornley, phone 0438 140759, email we.2.bez@bigpond.com. 106th Field Workshop, 20th of November 2023, Steeples Club, Mornington, Victoria. To commemorate 55 years since 106th Field Workshop formed at 1 ATF Nui Dat, SVN, on the order of battle, 1st of November 1968. 250 soldiers passed through the unit in our first 12 months of operation, with some 535 serving during our operational service. We have still not found all those valuable RAEME/RAAOC and Catering Corps soldiers. Contact Milton Pearson, phone 0488 050 261, email csm1066869@gmail.com. HMAS Lewin, April 1968, 23rd intake. 26th of February to the 1st of March 2024, Victor Harbour, South Australia. All members and their partners are encouraged to attend. Divisional staff and instructors who were involved with this intake are also welcome. Contact Charlie Safala, phone 0457 634 486, email cjcifala@yahoo.com.au. 60-year reunion, 19th VM Army Apprentices, 23rd to the 26th of April 2024, Sunshine Coast, TBC, Queensland. All intakes welcome. Those interested, please make contact. Seeking contact details for Gavin Bicknell, Johnny Broomfield, Lloyd Ellum, Lionel Houston, and Frank Mazurek. Contact Peter Leslie or Pete Colmain. Phone 0413 620 945 or 0439 726 100. Email pete128@outlook.com. RAAF Apprentices 1974, 28 Scorpions. 23rd to the 26th of April 2024, Wagga Wagga, New South Wales. Planning in progress for intake's 50th anniversary event. All 28 Scorpions and their partners are welcome. Expressions of interest through Facebook, 28 Scorpions. Contact Chris Nielsen, phone 0403 943 029, email chris.nielsen@live.com.au. Headquarters, 1st Australian Task Force and D&E Platoon, 21st to the 25th of November 2024, Adelaide, South Australia. Commemorative lunch on the 23rd at the Training Depot, Torrens Parade Ground, preceded by a dedication service at the Pathway of Honour, where our own memorial will be unveiled, then commemorative service at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. Contact John Verhelst, phone 0437 212 121, email jeverhelst@gmail.com, website www.hqlatf.org. Medals Lost and Found. Lost. Charles Frederick Taylor, NX 66278, seeking lost service medals. Contact Suzette Keys, phone 0402 498 397, email jellyhotdog, the numerals 86, at outlook.com. Warrant Officer Class 1, Army, M.W. Sward, 37333. My late father's official medals were presumed stolen from Chatham Valley, Oberon, New South Wales, in 2017. The medals were Vietnam and other service medals and ribbons in one piece. Contact Lillay Sward, phone 0417 508 543, email lileasward@gmail.com. John Graney Southwell. My dad's Distinguished Flying Medal was last seen in 1975-76 at Largs Bay, South Australia. Please contact me if you have any knowledge of our precious family heirloom. Contact Suthan Southwell Hill. Email hillsusan, the numerals 527, at gmail.com. MJ Fogarty, 02644. Two sets of same medals, original and replica, Australian Service Medal, 1945 to 1975, with clasp FESR, and an Australian Defence Medal, current issue. Stolen around 2018 when my house was burgled. Theft was reported to police. Contact Mike Fogarty, RAN. Phone 02-6288-5339. Email mike.fogarty@bigpond.com. R27467B Dullahanty, RAN. Medals Lost in Post, ASM 1945-75 with PNG and Japan clasps and ADM. Contact Graham Dullahanty, phone 0401-856-710, email grangran, the numerals 2010, at live.com. Francis and Frederick Tamblyn's World War I medals. Both my great-great-uncles died in World War I. Francis, Frank, was part of the New Zealand Infantry and died of wounds after his return from the Somme. I'm also searching for his medals from the Boer War. Frederick died at Lone Pine and was in the Australian Army. Contact Patricia Bowes, phone 0401 344 804, email trishbowes@bigpond.com. Found. Murphy's Pacific Star Medal, World War II. The surname Murphy is stamped on the back of the medal. Contact Brett, phone 0419 235 586. W.A. Leslie, R93355, and H.A. Leslie, WX60351. We were handed two sets of medals found in a trunk bought at an auction. There are 10 medals, World War I and World War II, for W.A. Leslie, and 8 medals for H.A. Leslie, Malaysia, Borneo and Vietnam. Contact Trevor Smith, Curator, Caloundra RSL Military Display. Email curator@caloundrarsl.com.au. 1557 Private James Vincent Malloy. James served in the 6th Light Horse Regiment in World War I and was awarded the 1914-15 Star, World War I Victory Medal and British War Medal. He lived in the Windsor and Parramatta areas of New South Wales before he passed away in 1953. Contact Robert Miller, phone 0412 514 902. Email bmillar@ozemail.com.au. 2794915 WG Willis, Australian Defence Medal. Contact reception, phone 02-6057-2000. Email Elizabeth Street at commercialclubalbury.com.au. Gunner Hugh Norris, AIF, 37808. British War Medal, 1914 to 1918, found during house renovations in Millicent, South Australia. Hugh was from Bury, New South Wales, and served in the field artillery in World War I. Mother listed as Mrs. Elizabeth Ann Norris of Mullumbimby, New South Wales. Contact RSL Millicent Subbranch, phone 0456 086 262. Email millicent at rslsa.org.au. 4604, formerly SX500199, Warrant Officer Class 1 William Vaughan Clark, General Service Badge, Rising Sun, Badges of Rank, Corps, Unit and Formation, plus Paybook and AAB 83, Record of Service. Warrant Officer Class 1 Clark joined RAAOC in 1946, serving in Vietnam April 1966 to April 1967. Contact RSL Millicent Subbranch, phone 0456 086 262. Email Millicent at rslsa.org.au. R.E. Roberts, B4574, Australian Service Medal, 1939 to 1945, and 2-star medals, would like to return to owner or family. Contact Manetta Walker, phone 0429 948 315. Email net, the numerals 62, at bigpond.com. Pacific Star Medal. The medal has been handed into the Edmonton Police Station, 103 Louis Piccone Way, Edmonton, Queensland, 4870. Contact Katrina Grant, phone 07-4045-9101, email propertyedmonton at police.qld.gov.au. F.J. Quigley, 67212. 3 medals from 1939 to 1945 found in Nelson Bay. Would like to return to family. Contact Jennifer Wagner, phone 0417 225 783. Email jenken, the numerals 27, at optusnet.com.au. NX56924, Private William Neville Poulton, 23 Pioneer Battalion. Looking to return medals to next of kin. Contact Bev. Email wombatlodge, the numeral 2, at gmail.com. B.H. Stedman, 2723749. National Service Medal in case. Found in op shop in Port Macquarie. Would like to return to family. Contact Ed Peach, 0428-281-804. Email PEACH, the numerals 201050, at gmail.com. Michael Hindmarsh, Australian Army. Found at Harvey Bay Tip, Australian Army Teamwork Medallion in presentation case. Contact Simon Morley, Harvey Bay RSL Subbranch Incorporated. Phone 07-4197-7477. Email subbranch at herveybayrsl.com.au. Private Bernard Sutton and Sylvia Dutton. 605 Private Bernard Dutton, 13th Light Horse Regiment, AIF, World War I, 1914 to 18 Star, British War Medal and Victory Medal. Bernard's wife, 93342 Sylvia Dutton, RAAF, World War II, Australian Service Medal, 1939 to 45, and War Medal, 1939 to 45. Contact Peter Whitelaw, phone 0411 107 039. Email peter at peterwhitelaw.com.au. You may also want to visit the Defence Department Honours and Awards page for information on applying for medals, replacements and relatives' medals. defence.gov.au/adf-members-families/honours-awards. Contact Ed Page. Navy. Seeking Graham Tug Wilson. Seeking former shipmate of HMAS Lewin, Rhodes, 37th Intake, 1971 to 1972. Would like to catch up. Contact Chris Mamet. Phone 0437 200157. Email c.mamot, the numerals 57, at gmail.com. Dandenong Naval Association. A lunch is held at 12 noon on the first Friday of each month at the Noble Park RSL, 1128 Heatherton Road, Noble Park, Victoria. Welfare and pension officers present. All ex-Navy and partners welcome. Contact Gordon Murray, OAM, President. Email GordonMurray, the numerals 44, at iCloud.com. Naval Association of New South Wales, Gerringong Subsection. Meetings held third Tuesday of the month, except December, at Gerringong RSL Hall, Belinda Street. Contact Robert Foster, Secretary, or Lee Cordner, President. Phone 0428 669 820 or 0427 333 034. Email kiamarobert at outlook.com. Ex-Navy personnel in the Albert and Logan Shires and surrounds. The Bean Lee and District Subsection meetings are held at 11 a.m. on the last Sunday of the month at the Bean Lee RSL and Golf Club, 13 Barden Halliday Drive, Mount Warren Park. We hold a brief meeting, then have a drink or a bite to eat. Partners welcome. Contact Brenda Shurman, Secretary. Email brendash at bigpond.com. JR's 23rd intake, April 1968. Looking for junior recruits from the 23rd intake who would like to get back in touch with old shipmates. Contact Charlie Safala. Phone 0457 634 486. Email cjcifala at yahoo.com.au. Teletype communications equipment. Seeking original teletype communications equipment. That is ASRs, KSRs, etc., as I would like to set up a display in a small country town's RSL. Contact Gary McGowan. Phone 0420 327 159. Email GARYMCGOO, the numerals 1955 at gmail.com. Army. Jimmy Sonigo, RA 3, Vietnam. I'm urgently seeking Jimmy. He was a mate of my late father. Lynn Dennis Jones. They served together in Vietnam. Contact Dean Jones. Phone 0456 719 328. Seeking Jonathan Daniels. He was born in Rhodesia and joined the Army in the 1970s. Contact Vince Black. Phone 0435 080 087. Email VINLOR, the numeral 1, at bigpond.com. Seeking Raymond William Green. A fellow 1971 Duntroon graduate, Ray served in the Royal Australian Corps of Transport. Contact Brigadier Jerry Warner, retired. Phone 0418 289 148. Email GERRIY at ozemail.com.au. Seeking Nurse, Vietnam, 1968. I met this army nurse somewhere between Berea and Nui Dat in 1968 at a bar opposite an orphanage. As my mates and I left the bar, she ran after me, holding my M16, yelling, "I'd left my gun!" I'd love to be able to thank her after all these years. Contact Alan Bloom. Phone 0438 077 999. Email heatheranblom at gmail.com. Seeking relatives of Sister Margaret de Mestre. An army nurse who was on the hospital ship Manunda when it was bombed in Darwin Harbour, Margaret was a friend of my late mother, and I recently came across a letter she wrote to Mum in 1941. I would like to pass on the letter to her descendants. Contact Desley Stafford. Email desley.staffford at outlook.com. 3109616, Lieutenant Corporal Bob Powell. Seeking contact with my crew commander. C Squadron, 1st Armoured Regiment, Vietnam, 1971. Contact Doug Burville. Email doug at aplaceinthesun.com.au. Seeking Kelvin Pritchard, 2795280. My old mate, who served in 86TPT.PL in Vietnam, 1971, was living in Newcastle, New South Wales. Contact Michael Merrifield. Phone 0447 303 079. Ex-Victorian Commonwealth Bank of Australia, CBA staff. I was one of more than 900 CBA staff Australia-wide who were called up for national service, 1965 to 1972, and one of the many Victorian staff who were posted to Vietnam. Gary Doolan, X-85 Transport Platoon and I are looking to find other Victorian staff members who were posted to Vietnam during that period. To date, I've learnt of 12 others. Contact Ken Wright, ex-CBA 1965 to 1998, ex-HQ Company Transport, 1ALSG 1969 to 1970, RAASC. Phone 0434 148 622. Email kmwriedt@iinet.net.au. Seeking David Lake. Private, 1988 to 1989, Storehouse 17, Scuba Company, 21 Supply Battalion. Married to Vicky, and I believe he came from Gosford, New South Wales. Contact Ross Withers. Phone 0488 102 890. Email rosmarlogistics@bigpond.com. Seeking contact person for 21 Anti-Aircraft Regiment, Sydney Branch. My father served 1939 to 1945, and I would like to march in Sydney on Anzac Day 2024 with the gentleman who marched this year with this regiment's banner. RSL New South Wales do not have contact details. Contact Rosie Brennan, née Lumsdane. Phone 0430 310 044. Email rbrennan, the numerals 5353, at gmail.com. Seeking Tony Klipczynski. Ex-21st Construction Squadron, Pakapanyal. Last heard from in WA in the late 1970s. Contact Les Grant. Phone 0414 635 730. Email lesgrant, the numerals 52, at gmail.com. Seeking Robert Bob Hicks. CMF Army SA, 26 Signals, Balua Park. Last contact March 1965 in North Adelaide. Transferred to Melbourne for 2 years. Was in Vietnam. Contact Marion Dixon. Phone 0439 898 516. Medical assistance, 8 Camp Hospital, Singleton. Looking for past assistance up until the buildings were demolished. Corporal Ray Evans from WA was in charge of outpatients at the time. Contact John Brown, FACN. Email john.brown.prof@iinet.net.au. Woodbridge Area School, Tasmania. Seeking former students who served in Vietnam for a reunion and possible history project. We have some of their names. Philip Archer, Norm Cairns, Peter Cairns, Joe Gilovitz, Rod Marnie, Royden Russell, Tony Smith, Lex Triffitt, Jeff Vince, Ron Woolley, Hayden Hughes, Navy. Approximately 200 students attended the school at that time. Contact Norm Cairns. Phone 0498 765 425. Air Force. Beaufort Squadron Members. Seeking contact with RAAF Beaufort Air or Ground Crew for forthcoming book Re-Beaufort Operations in Australia and SWPA. Contact Tony Clark. Phone 0498 085 249. Email tclark, the numerals 817, at bigpond.com. World War II Warrant Officer Alan George Vivian Miles, RAAF, service number 1835. I have Alan's World War II era canvas sausage bag and would like to return it to his family. Contact Kerry MacDonald, phone 0422 134 288. Seeking family of Robert Allen Shorty Stewart. Bajan Things has recently published a post that features crew members who flew with Errol Barrow, PM of Barbados, while in RAF 88 Squadron B Flight from September 1944 to April 1945. The crew included Robert, an Australian wireless operator gunner. He was born on the 5th of January 1919, joined the RAAF on the 21st of July 1942 at 2RD RAAF Bradfield Park, Sydney, trained in Canada, flew with RAF 88 Squadron in England and France from the 20th September 1944 to the 6th of April 1945, and was discharged from 2PD APPT term RAAF Bradfield Park, Sydney, on the 13th of December 1945. Contact Peter Burton. Email decimus.burton@gmail.com. Website bajanthings.com. seeking Wing Commander David Reynolds. I served in the RAAF Comms Op. Comms Station 64, Sergeant number A122178, 8th of the 10th, 1971 to 19th of the 6th, 1988, medically discharged. I'm totally blind, 80% deaf. Postings in the Pierce, Darwin, Butterworth and Glenbrook comms, hoping to contact Wing Commander Reynolds or any of the communications persons who served with me. Contact Alan Brian Cox, Coxie. Email andola@bigpond.com. Miscellaneous. AFC and RAAF Association, Toowoomba Branch. Reaching out to all those who serve or have served in the RAAF, either regular, reserve or national service, to join the association. This invitation is also extended to Army Aviation and Commonwealth Allied Forces. The branch meets on the first Sunday of each month at Club Toowoomba, 331 Hume Street, Toowoomba, at 10 a.m. Contact Richard Carter, phone 0419 363 913, email twmbasec@raafaqld.org. Seeking Clinician Podcast Guests. Hosted by a veteran, the podcast aims to share the life stories of ADF nurses, medics, doctors, paramedics and allied health professionals who have served in humanitarian, disaster relief, austere and war environments. If you're interested in being a guest or would like more information, please email. Contact Emma. Email careunderfirepodcast@gmail.com. Library of the Royal United Services Institute of Victoria, RUSIV. A publicly accessible and free military library located in Victoria Barracks, Melbourne, that provides a comprehensive and friendly resource for veterans and the wider community. The factory enables easy but deep research on the service history of ANZAC personnel. The library has many items not held in other collections, including letters, maps and pamphlets. Contact RUSIV. Email secretary@rusivic.org.au. Website rusivic.org.au/library. United Nations Medal. Seeking families of 65 ADF officers who served the United Nations during 1947 to 1951 in Indonesia. There is the possibility of the award of the UN Medal, and I am hoping to seek family help in preparing a one-page biography and photo of each of the officers, which will then be offered to the Australian War Memorial for its revamped peacekeeping exhibit. Contact Graham Rayner, phone 0406 376 312, email graham.rayner33@gmail.com. To unsubscribe. Vet Affairs is published 3 times a year. Although we often have to reduce the length of articles to make them fit, the full versions are in the digital editions on our website, dva.gov.au/vetaffairs. If you no longer wish to receive the printed edition of Vet Affairs, please email us at vetaffairs@dva.gov.au with your name and address and either your DVA client number or date of birth. If you'd prefer to receive the digital version via email instead, please say so when you email us. If you would like to subscribe to our e-newsletter, DVA e-news, please go to dva.gov.au/latest-news. DVA e-news is published every 2 months. That concludes the section Notice Board. Publishing details. Australian Government Department of Veterans Affairs. Vet Affairs is published by the Department of Veterans Affairs as a free newspaper for Australia's veteran community. Editor, Martin Blazek. Email, vetaffairs@dva.gov.au. Mail, GPO Box 9998, Brisbane, Queensland, 4001. Follow DVA on Facebook and Twitter, DVAAUS. Browse DVA on youtube.com/DVATVAUS or look for us on LinkedIn. If you have an inquiry for DVA, phone free call 1-800-VETERAN, that's 1-800-838-372. Website dva.gov.au. The Department of Veterans Affairs respects and gives thanks to all who have served in our Defence Force and the families who support them. You have been listening to Vet Affairs, Volume 39, Number 2, August 2023, DVA's free newspaper for Australia's veteran community. If you wish to change your address or discuss distribution problems, please phone the Department of Veterans Affairs on 1800 555 254. If you do not wish to receive future copies of Vet Affairs in audio format, please phone the telephone numbers listed above or write to Vet Affairs Administration, Department of Veterans Affairs, GPO Box 998, Canberra, ACT 2601. This production has been made possible by the Department of Veterans Affairs in the interests of information accessibility. The recording was produced by Vision Australia, website www.visionaustralia.org. Care has been taken in the recording of this publication, but Vision Australia does not accept responsibility for the results of specific action taken on the basis of this recording, nor for any error or omission. This recording is copyright. No unauthorised copying, broadcasting, or public performance is permitted. Your narrator was David Tredinnick. This concludes the recording.